It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 13th day of November 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And this program, like every program at The Horn, begins with gratitude because, well, this ain't capitalist radio. This is community radio put together by and held together by the people who want the program to continue and who have kept it continuing for, well, into the 16th year we are now. So thanks go out to our subscribers for the 13th day of the month. The 13th having been replaced by the 9th as the loneliest day of the month. So we send thanks out to Kay and to Greg and to Gary and Gaia and to Paul. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and ordinarily this would be Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. But no, insofar as I'm going to be gone tomorrow and Friday, then it just seemed to me a good idea to have a prayer meeting on the front porch Wednesday. And so that's what's going to happen this evening. If you would like to participate in the front porch conversation, hop on over to headon.live, and the Skype link is right there. And it'll take you right to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather for our front porch conversations. Barring that, we've also got the stress line for people who can't quite handle Skype. So it's easy as can be. Jump right in. We'll get that conversation going, in about an hour or so. Part of the reason, in addition to the fact that we're not going to have Friday on the front porch, and in addition to the fact that I'm not going to be here tomorrow or Friday, be back Monday. But the other reason I wanted to have a front porch conversation is because more minds can make more sense of what we heard today with the opening of the historic impeachment hearings in the House of Representatives chaired by Adam Schiff of California. A day as momentous as this should be treated with a fair degree of solemnity and a fair degree of gravity. Oh, before I get ahead of myself, the fundraising goal at present for the evening and for the week is $865. And there is a challenge on the table, courtesy of Chris in Germany. It is, succinctly put, Chris's Fuck Trump challenge. So if you'd like to double your money and along the way say fuck Trump, Chris has provided the vehicle for you to do it. If we can scratch up $100, then Chris will double it to $200, and every contributor, everybody who jumps in on this challenge, I will repeat in your name, fuck Trump. And in Chris's as well. So the Fuck Trump challenge is on the clock and on the table. And if we can knock that down, that'll take us down to $665. and maybe we can go from there. It would be mighty nice if we could. So we're at 865. Need to get down to, it'd be nice to get down to zero, because I've got bills to pay this evening that I'll be too busy Thursday and Friday to deal with. So the Fuck Trump Challenge is out there for one and all. Say it loud and say it proud. Fuck Trump. With your kind support of this community-driven, non-capitalist radio effort. Mike in Cascadia saying, fuck Trump, $25. So there's only $75 remaining on that challenge now. Thank you, Mike. Thank you very kindly. It felt good typing that, didn't it? Felt even better hearing it, didn't it? Yes, fuck Trump. And we got $75 worth of Trump fucking left. And Chris's challenge will be met. Hey, maybe somebody will jump in and extend it, and we'll just keep yelling fuck Trump for the next, little less than 3 hours. Won't that? Oh, that'll be downright cleansing. That'll be like primal scream therapy. The word of the day, according to Jim, is telemetry. I was going to suggest that the word of the day be cauliflower, but we'll let Jim have it with telemetry. It has been a long day. That's the one downside to these hearings, is they get kind of exhausting. And I gotta be candid. And I have a feeling this is partly strategic. I mentioned that the hearings deserve to be treated with gravity and with seriousness, because impeachment is, it doesn't come around just every day. I calculated it, and I think we got nearly 80 years into the Young Republic before somebody had to be impeached, and of course that was Andrew Johnson, who was a Southern sympathizer and got impeached essentially for that. And evaded removal from office by one senatorial vote. We don't know what would have happened to the Republic had he been removed from office. Although, with the benefit of hindsight, it might have been a good thing had he been removed, because we would at least then have a model for it. We still don't. So we made it about 80 years before our first impeachment, and then we trundled along for about another 100 before Nixon came along and made it unavoidable. One of the things along the way that I noted as I was listening to the discussions today is that, realistically speaking, Ronald Reagan really should have been impeached. He pleaded that he couldn't remember that he had a recollection if he had a memory. But there were still nasty things that violated both the federal law and the Constitution done in his name, and presidents are liable for those kinds of actions, at least according to the people who wrote and ratified the Constitution. Maybe we'll get into that later. So it was about 100 years to Nixon, and then it was another 10 or so to Reagan, and then it was another, 10 to Clinton. W should have been impeached. I mean, lying the country into a war and starting an illegal war and violating the Geneva Conventions and violating the laws against the crimes against humanity. Well, he should have been impeached too. They couldn't find anything to impeach Barack Obama over because his administration was literally unimpeachable. And that brings us to this clown. Yes, to to make it clear. Brother Deacon Asa says, so to be clear, you'll say fuck Trump every time you get a PayPal notification? Yeah. If you start, honest to God, Brother Deacon Asa, if you start PayPaling pennies, I'm going to have a conniption. We got serious stuff to talk about here this evening. Although it doesn't exactly bust my balls to say fuck Trump. It's rather refreshing. But anyway, as I said, I think part of the strategy of the Republicans is to it's the same strategy, actually. It's a variation on a theme that they employ during elections. They put it out there, you know, there's not a dime's worth of difference between Republicans and Democrats, so I'm going to vote third party. Not a dime's worth of difference. And so they try to sleazy the process up until nobody wants to participate in it. And this is similar. They're trying to degrade a serious impeachment process so that people will say, oh, fuck it. It's just the Democrats versus Republicans, when in fact the matters at hand are far more grave than that. Far more grave. This is about whether or not the President of the United States, Democrat or Republican, has the power to subvert the will of the people and violate the very Constitution itself. But you'd never know that to have paid attention to the Republicans and their clueless counsel today. I don't know where I heard Kirk Bardella on my Filthy Morning Habit today, and he said, well, you know, I know, and I forget the lawyer's name. When I was on there, we thought he was our superstar. Jesus Christ. Really? Because he seemed kind of whiny and pitiful today. But he didn't have anything to work with. And so they tried, the Republicans tried to, by behaving like clowns, tried to turn it into a circus. They failed miserably. Steve in New York noting, it appears as though Hunter Biden is the new Benghazi. Well, it is. I mentioned last week, regular listeners of the program will know, that they were going to try Hunter Biden in lieu of the impeachment proceedings against Donald Trump, who, by the way, spent the entire day retweeting other people. Well, he did take some time out to meet with his landlord, you know, Erdogan, the thug from Turkey. Oh, and that's fuck Trump and fuck Trump. Thank you to Tracy and to Brother Deacon Asa. We've got fuck Trump, fuck Trump. And that means we're $15 away from having met Chris's fuck Trump challenge. And I'm going to extend, I can't extend the challenge, but I can say that on this particular evening, every contribution that comes in will be met with fuck Trump. Okay? But it was not a very good day for Jim Shorts Jordan. Dowhead in the chat room says, I listened today. I just don't understand why Jim Jordan is such a weasel. What does he really think that he's going to gain from all this loyalty? Money. Money and access and power. Not particularly inside Congress, but once he's out. I mean, you know, you've got to be a special kind of fuck-up for John Boehner to call you an idiot. I mean, that says something. Usually, members of a single state's congressional contingent will try not to deliberately shit on the members of their own. Right. But John Boehner from Ohio once said of Jim Jordan from Ohio, he's an idiot. And he is. But he's oh so much more and less than that. I mean, what do you really say about a guy who, when he finds out that the team doctor, Richard Strauss at The Ohio State University, when he responds to a coach who says that he, you know, got groped, yeah, that's Richard. Whew! The man has no common, no core of common decency whatsoever. Steve in New York says, oh, Jim Shorts Jordan, I'm thinking some of that money will be for his defense fund. One hopes. You know, back in the 90s, we had Representative Sweaty Wrestler Hyde. You'll recall Bart Kopp gave him that nickname. And we went on to find out that he'd been groping and otherwise having sexy time with little boys. And eventually we'll probably find out something similar with Jim Shorts Jordan. Because it's kind of all always that way. Now, take, for instance, a story coming out of Kentucky Stan. Yeah, this is really fucking gross. We have to do a little time travel for this one. We have to go to Clark County and Winchester, Kentucky. I know precisely where it is. I pass through there every time I head down to Alabama. Just on the eastish side of Lexington. And, well, in Clark County in Winchester, Kentucky, they have the Clark County Area Technology Center. Sounds like a VOTEC. Well, several years back, the principal of that school, several years back, the principal of the Montgomery County High School, also in Kentucky, was a guy named Philip Todd Wilson. Philip Todd Wilson, back in 2009, got together with other administrators in area schools because he was worried in the name of Jesus about the children's reading about the LGBTQs and the Homer sectionals. Because, see, there were young adult novels on the optional reading list in English classes. Well, Philip Todd Wilson went on a jihad against those books. Any book that mentioned homosexuality, any with mentions of drugs, sex, child abuse, suicide. Well, Philip Todd Wilson decided that those were inappropriate. Inappropriate. Well, more than half of those challenged books, more than half of the top 11 most frequently challenged and banned books of 2018 are banned because of LGBTQ content. The American Library Association put that report together. What has this got to do with Jim Jordan? Well, just wait. Philip Todd Wilson is a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican. And he went after Twisted by Lori Hall Anderson, Deadline by Chris Crutcher, Lessons from a Dead Girl by Joe Knowles, and Unwind by Neil Schusterman. That last book, Lessons from a Dead Girl by Joe Knowles, it's about a girl who is subjected to sexual and emotional abuse by another female, but Philip Todd Wilson said, no, that's Homer sectional content's what that is. Well, let's flash forward to the present, shall we? Philip Todd Wilson went on to become principal of the Clark County Area Technology Center in Winchester, Kentucky. And he has been charged. What with? Why, 17 accounts of child pornography and distribution. The Kentucky Department of Education said, no, he's no longer the principal of the Clark County Area Technology Center in Winchester, Kentucky. It's almost like clockwork, isn't it? Kind of the same way that, well, Jim Shorts Jordan looked the other way on the rape of children by Dr. Strauss there at The Ohio State University. It's what Republicans do. Joe Knowles, who was one of the banned authors, said, as I said to some friends last night when I got the news, you can't make this shit up. And Lori Hall Sanderson, whose book Twisted was also banned, said books that help kids examine the violence, abuse, and shame they've endured are very threatening to the people who commit those acts of violence, abuse, and shaming. Well, eventually we'll find out something similarly sickening and seedy, most likely, about Jim Shorts Jordan. And we've got, courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut. Fuck Trump. So that is Chris's challenge met. But we'll continue the fuck Trumps with everything that comes in during the course of the rest of the evening. Brother Usher Steve, because it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday after all, Brother Usher Steve just kicked in another fuck Trump. So we are now at, 6:55. 6:55 to meet the fundraising goal for the week. Oh, wait, I was premature. We're not there yet. We have, we got $40 to go because I announced a fuck Trump on Tracy's behalf, and it's still there, but that was PayPal being slow, and that was her challenge that arrived earlier, but PayPal the email didn't know, and I just got that just now. So we're $40 away from meeting Chris's fuck Trump challenge. We got $40 more worth of fuck Trumps out there, and even more beyond that. Boner asks Darlene in Connecticut, calling Jim Jordan an idiot. This is good. Wait a minute. Darlene notes, the cannabis must be working then. Yes, it is. It's amazing how intelligent you can get when you leave the Republican Party, leave the Congress, get in your motorhome, and go toddling around America honking on a spleef. People do still spleef, don't they? Or are they all blunts now? I don't know. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, Jim Shorts. Are all of his jackets in the dry cleaner? Are all of his jackets in the dry cleaners? When he goes on to the private sector, do you think his employer will require him to put on a goddamn coat? He's such a fucking smartass. I got the feeling that both Taylor and Kent wanted to tell gym shorts to pound sand. No, I got the idea that they just wanted to crawl over the dais and pound him. Particularly Taylor. Taylor's the real deal. Taylor knows what a shot fired in anger sounds like. Jim Shorts would wet his singlet if he ever got near anything of the sort. Now, wait a minute, I'm getting confused. I see what you're doing, Brother Deacon Asa. That's another fuck Trump, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. So now we got $30 to go to finish with the fuck Trump challenge. You know what? Absolutely. Ralph's just asked, does my subscription contribution to Mara count for a fuck Trump? It sure does. Fuck Trump! On behalf of Ralph's. And since we're doing it for today, for all of our subscribers today, a fuck Trump for Kay. Fuck Trump for Greg. Fuck Trump for Gary and Gaia. Fuck Trump for Paul. Oh, it just... Damn, that's nice. It just feels good. Jim. Noting, Bob, gay contra-educator, refresher course. He a homo nomo by Anita Bryant, coming to you courtesy of Fuck It Puddin' and Jim Baker. His subject line, wrestlers. Scott says, what is it about wrestlers? Don't piss the wrestlers off at me, Scott! All of them I've ever met have a high capacity for kinkiness. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But most of them are really hypocritical about it, stating their preferences being one thing, but secretly acting up and out in reality. Well, like I said when we were talking, just remember who invented it, and all those positions, and all those moves. Yeah, they don't call it Greco-Roman wrestling because it was invented by a bunch of, well, you get the idea. So anyway, just by way of sort of keeping track of it all. There's any number of directions to go with an analysis of today's proceedings. But for me, what I thought most telling. Remember, Jim Shorts Jordan was sort of brought on at the last moment into the by Kevin McCarthy into the impeachment hearing. He's not on the Intel committee. He isn't on any of the committees that have jurisdiction over the hearing. But he was temporarily placed on the Intel committee to go in and try to make a mockery of a fairly solemn proceeding. And he tried. He tried. He did try. But it didn't play so well. No. It's never a good sign when you're getting laughed at in any congressional hearing when you're not trying to make a joke. At this point, I guess Jim Shorts Jordan, you know, all his jackets. No, remember, Ron says, you know, what are all his jackets at the Clinton? No. Remember, Jim Shorts Jordan refuses to wear a jacket. You think I'm kidding. I'm not. Jim Shorts Jordan refuses to wear a jacket to any congressional proceedings because he's angry at the women folk. I'm not kidding. That's not me being facetious. He thinks since the women folk don't have to wear jackets, and since the women folk are allowed to parade around wearing pants, that the rules don't apply to him having to wear a jacket. You let that sink in. That's why the no jacket. It's not like he's a big fan of old Phil Collins records, no jacket required. No, Jim Shorts Jordan is giving the women folk what for. Until they stop prancing around in the halls of Congress and on the floor of the House like some sort of strumpets. Well, Jim Shorts Jordan ain't gonna wear no jacket. I wish I was kidding. And hey, by the way, fuck Trump. That courtesy of Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth. Who, yes, now we have finished Chris's challenge, and we are we're to the good on the way down. So we're down below. We're down 655 now. Thank you very much indeed. 655 is almost doable, isn't it? And every contribution this evening comes with a hearty fuck Trump. I don't know, maybe we can add it. Should we add some sort of an incentive to include with a white hot poker? Or with a white, and I do mean white hot poker? I don't know. We'll work on that. So Jim Shorts Jordan was sent onto the committee to make a mockery of it. Early this morning, I imagined he was, I figure he was putting his big red nose on and his fright wig and his floppy shoes, and that he might very well show up at the hearing. No jacket, of course. Fit to make Pennywise the Clown look downright dapper. But no, it was just his usual shitty yellow tie. Over-laundered. I can't tell if it used to be a blue shirt or if it used to be a white shirt that got washed with a blue shirt. And boy, he thought he was sure going to go after Bill Taylor and George Kent. It didn't work out so well. Oh, they were so proud of themselves. They had themselves a talking point, and they thought it was really going to score points. Where's the whistleblower? Where? We're never going to hear from no whistleblower. Let's hear it in Jim Short's own words.
One witness that they won't bring in front of us, they won't bring in front of the American people. And that's the guy who started it all, the whistleblower. Nope. 435 members of Congress, only one gets to know who that person is.
Yeah, hold on here. The person who started it all, the whistleblower. Funny. In terms of prime movers and first orders, and I don't think it was the whistleblower. How about you? And only one person knows who that is.
Only one member of Congress has a staff that gets to talk to that person. The rest of us don't. Only chairmanship knows who the whistleblower is. We don't. We will never get the chance. We will never get the chance to see the whistleblower raise his right hand, swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. We'll never get that chance. More importantly.
Now, that's kind of an important thing there. He tried that a lot. Jim Shorts did. Adam Schiff knows who the whistleblower is. Adam Schiff. Hand over fist. He tried that once too often.
Mr. Conaway, do you seek recognition for what purpose?
I seek recognition to make a motion that we actually subpoena the whistleblower for a closed-door, secret deposition so that the questions that should be appropriately asked the whistleblower by our side and your side may be asked. And I would prefer that rather than it be your single decision, that the committee speak to that issue rather than just the chairman. And I move that we...
I thank the gentleman. It won't be my single
subpoena
decision.
Subpoena the whistleblower.
It won't be my single decision. We will entertain a motion to subpoena any witness, but after the witnesses have had an opportunity to testify,
that
motion will be in order, but that motion will be suspended until after the witnesses.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. So, no, we're not gonna sit here all day long with you trying to keep the testimony from coming out, because this was just a cheap and tawdry little effort to try to muzzle the actual witnesses for as long as humanly possible. But that's kind of fair, isn't it? Yeah, we're going to hear your motion to subpoena the whistleblower. Why the hell not? Oh, and by the way, fuck Trump. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you very kindly. That takes us down to 6:45. Thank you, Sheila. Fuck Trump. So, you know, they went back and forth there, and okay, well, we'll hear the motion after the witnesses have testified, and they did. But, of course, Jim Shorts Jordan was sitting there right next to the other maggots, immediate right, and between him and Devin Nunes, who sues people over parody Twitter accounts, kind of thin-skinned old Dev. Here it comes.
Mr. Chairman, do you anticipate when we would vote on that?
What purpose does Mr. Jordan seek recognition?
Just to ask a clarifying question, do you anticipate when we might vote on the ability to have the whistleblower in front of us, something you, of the 435 members of Congress, you are the only member who knows who that individual is, and your staff is the only staff of any member of Congress who's had a chance to talk with that individual. We would like that opportunity. When might that happen in this proceeding today?
Now, see, it had already been dealt with. He'd already answered the question, but Jim Shorts Jordan was put there to repeat that lie over and over and over again, primarily for the benefit of Nitwit Nero, but also for the benefit of the folks over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and those folks over at ONAN, the news network that spills its news upon the ground, so that they can then rebroadcast it to Emery and Marvelline sitting there in their matching Barca loungers in the trailer park.
First, as the gentleman knows, that's a false statement. I do not know the identity of the whistleblower, and I'm determined to make sure that identity is protected. But as I said to Mr. Conaway, you'll have an opportunity, after the witnesses testify, to make a motion to subpoena any witness and compel a vote. And with that, I now recognize the witnesses. Before I do.
Yeah. Can't be much clearer than that. And no, that is not the same clip that I was playing a moment ago. Because eventually the questioning came back around to Jim Shorts Jordan again. And Jim Shorts Jordan's day just kept getting worse and worse. James in Illinois says, no jacket required, so since he's not being hauled off to the basement, doesn't that prove that the jacket is a tradition, not a requirement? I remember my days as a card-carrying member of the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Then I turned 7 and shed my insecurities. The whistleblower didn't start at all. It was individual 1. Oh, James, don't ruin the clip for us. No spoilers. Well, we all got to watch it, so it's probably not really a spoiler. Yeah. So there it is. He's already been told once that he's a filthy liar. And let's remember that, because again, I'm reading that book about dueling. That exchange 160 years ago would probably have wound up with one of those two people dead. My guess is it probably would have been Jim Shorts Jordan, because, well, he's not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, and he probably would have wound up shooting himself. But Adam Schiff, without saying you're a damned liar, told him he was a damned liar. Let's go back.
Has a staff that gets to talk to that person. The rest of us don't. Only Chairman Schiff knows who the whistleblower is. We don't. We will never get the chance. We will never get the chance to see the whistleblower raise his right hand, swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. We'll never get that chance. More importantly, the American people won't get that chance. This anonymous so-called whistleblower with no firsthand knowledge, who's biased against the president, who worked with Joe Biden, who is the reason we're all sitting here today, will never get a chance to question that individual.
He sure knows a lot about the whistleblower, seems to, without actually knowing who the whistleblower is. Yeah. But every word that's just come out of his mouth is a lie. Because being a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican, well, Jim Jordan, the truth ain't in him. And by the way, as to that slogan for the evening, fuck Trump, Steve in New York points out, who'd have thunk two simple words could give me so much joy? And I get a spring in my step whenever I hear it. Well, okay, then this one's a freebie. Fuck Trump. I guess I better label this evening's, but, well, none of them really are safe for work. When it comes time for me to do the description over at Podbean, I'll make sure I make note that there's a lot of appearances of the F word. But wouldn't you agree it's a patriotic use of the F word?
Democrats are trying to impeach the president based on all that, 11 and a half months before an election.
Remember this, yeah. At some point, how do you not go, will the member yield for a question? Well, I'll hang on to my time. Does the honorable gentleman, does this make him feel better? Because if it does, we're more than willing to help. We want him to have better mental health. Does it make you feel better to sit there and tell lies? Okay, thanks.
Will not get to check out his credibility, his motivations, his bias. I said this last week, but this is a sad day. This is a sad day for this country. You think about what the Democrats have put our nation through for the last 3 years. Started July of 2016.
Whoop! What the Democrats have put our country through for the last 3 years. Somebody get him the smelling salts. Me, I remember Benghazi! And butter emails! Both of which were giant. I mean, we were talking last night about how the Burger King Impossible Whopper isn't really meat, and yet isn't terrible. Benghazi and butthurt emails were the biggest political nothing burgers probably in the last century in this country, if not more so. And Jim Shorts Jordan was integral to that process. But boy, howdy, there was no hand-wringing back then. No, Hillary was corrupt, until Kevin McCarthy fucked up and admitted that they were only running the whole thing to try to damage her presidential campaign, which they did.
When they spied on two American citizens associated with the presidential campaign and all that unfolded with the Mueller investigation after that, and when that didn't work, here we are. The American people see through all this. They understand the facts support the president. They understand this process is unfair. And they see through the whole darn sham. With that, I yield back.
Mr. Welch.
Thank you. I say to my colleague, I'd be glad to have the person who started it all come in and testify. President Trump is welcome to take a seat right there.
Yeah, that was a laugh had at Jim Shorts Jordan's expense. The person who, in, like James said in Illinois a few minutes ago, individual one. There's a reason he's not individual 69. Don't even think about it. There's a reason he's individual one. It all begins with him, just like all roads lead to Pootie. But it all begins with Trump. And he is welcome to show up and answer questions. But he won't, because as he's proven all of his misbegotten entire life, he's a craven little coward. And by the way, fuck Trump. That is Brother Deacon Ace's third fuck Trump of the evening. Since there's been three of them, I'll throw in a bonus. Fuck Trump. You know, it's downright uplifting, isn't it? As to Jim Shorts Jordan's attire and refusal to wear a jacket, Jim points out that's the stupidest, most asinine thing I've heard to date. Don't blame me. That's Jim Shorts Jordan. Because he's being discriminated against. By the way, Scott in San Diego says, implement for fucking Trump. Hey, how about a 14-inch purple vibrating marital aid that glows in the dark and sings Comedy Tonight? Oh, your minds. As to the whistleblower's identity, Scott says, poor stupid Jim Shorts Jordan. Doesn't he know there was a big reveal of the whistleblower's identity? There sure was, and Jim Shorts Jordan's invitation to attend was sent via registered mail. Everybody was there, too, and the poor dumb schlub missed it. P.S. I was there. I had no idea that the parking for the venue would be so difficult. That's the last time I'll be attending an event at the newly remodeled Comet Ping Pong Basement. Ooh. But the fact of the matter is, the folks over at that website that rhymes with light and fart think that they actually know who the whistleblower is, and they've been publishing stories. Now, I'm not going to have anything to do with it, but Butthead, you know, Uday, dim son of the president, the, you know, sort of, kind of president, you know, Nitwit Nero, he went so far as to tweet it out. Yeah. Now, there's been no confirmation of it. And I read the article at that website that rhymes with light and fart. It's pretty shabby reporting, even for that website that rhymes with light and fart. But the bottom line is, they're hollering all of that. But the whistleblower is irrelevant now. Because everything the whistleblower said has been confirmed in the first person. And it's been confirmed coming out of the mouth of Nitwit Nero himself. He confessed on TV. He didn't even have to be waterboarded. He just confessed. Because he's that goddamn stupid. No, yeah. Flavio, subject line, most strangulatable. Number one, Jim Shorts Jordan. Two, Devin Nunez, Cal Nunez. Oh, yeah, I know. Pieces of work. And hey, Kat, up in Ohio, thank you very kindly. Kat in Ohio has just taken us down below the $600 mark. And you know what? Fuck Trump. Fuck Trump. Thank you, Kat. Thank you very much. So, I think that takes us down to 585. We're making real progress here. And that's a tremendous help because, well, bill paying, it's a big thing. Fuck Trump. But Peter Welch, apart from making a laughing stock of Jim Shorts Jordan, I mean, I could just listen to this. I could. Yeah, my good friend.
Mr. Welch.
Thank you. I say to my colleague, I'd be glad to have the person who started it all come in and testify. President Trump is welcome to take a seat right there. You know, the question here is not a dispute about the enormous power that a president has. The question is whether, in this case, there was an abuse of that power. A president can fire an ambassador for any reason whatsoever. A president can change his policy, as he did when he opened the door for Turkey to go in and invade Kurdistan, despite opposition from many of his senior advisors.
Ooh, that's going to leave a mark.
A president could change his position and our position on Ukraine. But is there a limit? There is. Because our Constitution says no one is above the law. And that limit is that one cannot, even as president, use the public trust of high office for personal gain. The law prohibits any one of us here on the dais from seeking foreign assistance in our campaigns. The question for us is whether the use of power by the president was for the benefit of advancing his political interest in the 2020 campaign. And by the way, to my colleagues, if the president wants to attack Joe Biden and his son, he's free to do it. All fair and square in campaigns. He's just not free to change our foreign policy unless he gets his way to assist him in that campaign.
Fairly elegant little description of the situation. It was a bad day for Jim Shorts Jordan. He doesn't have any shame, so maybe he doesn't know how bad the day was. But it was a bad day. He has no credibility, Jim Shorts Jordan doesn't. But it's still, no. How do we know it was a bad day? Well, consider Margaret Carlson writing at the Daily Beast. She explained why Jim Shorts Jordan is on that committee temporarily. Now, today was Ambassador Taylor and Ambassador Kent. But coming soon to an impeachment inquiry near you, and a public hearing, is Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. And according to Margaret Carlson, the Republicans, many of whom despise Jim Shorts Jordan, have decided to let him be the clown who goes up and self-immolates by trying to attack the patriotism of a man who will likely be in United States Army dress blues. It's sort of the let's get Mikey to do it approach to smearing a witness. That's why he's there. And I would not bet against the idea that he will do exactly what he was put there to do. And then there was his exchange with Ambassador Taylor. But before we go there, James in Illinois, says, fuck the Don. Sorry, I won't use his fake name after he called John Stewart out for using his middle name as a stage name. Fucking anti-Semite. Well, I'll just add a fuck Trump to it. And that takes us down to 575. Irwin took us down to 570. Fuck Trump! $570 now. Thanks. This is, and I got to tell you, this is very cleansing for me just to get to say that as often as I am. It's nice. Fuck Trump. There's another freebie. Fuck Trump with a Herpagona syphilades coated axe handle. How's that? That was a freebie, too. I think I'll give myself a cowbell. No, he tried to get shitty with Ambassador Taylor, and that didn't play well at all. No siree. Enjoy. Working.
Reason for it.
President Zelensky never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe, and you're their star witness. You're their first witness.
You're the guy
based on this, I've seen church prayer chains that are easier to understand than this. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told, now again, this is, I hereby swear and affirm from Gordon Sondland. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmouk on September 1st, 20. This all happens, by the way. This all happens, by the way, in Warsaw, where Vice President Pence meets with President Zelensky. And guess what?
Taylor,
they didn't talk about any linkage either.
Time the gentleman's expired. Ambassador Taylor, would you like to respond?
The only response, I have two responses, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and Mr. Jordan, glad to take those questions. Let me just say that I don't consider myself a star witness for anything.
They do. You don't.
No,
they
I don't.
Do.
I'm responding.
See, Dickhead's time has expired, in case we didn't notice that. He doesn't get to talk. He's not engaged in a colloquy with Ambassador Taylor. But he's getting burnt to ash. And so he's got to try to detract from it. Distract from it. By the way, Kitty in Boston says, fuck Trump. Hear, hear. So, let's see. So that's, we're down to, what, 560? 550? 550. Awesome. 550. We're getting there. And here's a two-for-one, fuck Trump. Fuck Trump. And fuck Jim Jordan. Fuck him for his disdain for his oath of office. Fuck him for the disrespect that he shows to people who are career civil servants, who have served Republican presidents and Democratic presidents without fear or favor, whose only interest has been advancing the goals of we the people trying to form our more perfect union. Megan asks, church? What church has Jim Shorts attended where the roof hasn't immediately fallen on his head and lightning hasn't struck him in the mouth? Well, no, there's lots of churches where that could happen, Megan, because, you know, evangelicals are, well, they're Jim Jordan's kind of people. They're the sorts that put him in office from whatever that bizarre, weird little district in Ohio he comes from is. Let's see, our resident Ohio expert is Steve in New York. He's a native Buckeye. Steve, you want to chime in on that? What the hell is wrong with the people? Where is his district? Who does he represent? And what the hell is wrong with them? So Ambassador Taylor says, I'm not anybody's star witness. I'm not here to be anybody's anything.
I'm here to tell you what I know. But Jim Shorts can't abide that. Wants to argue, even though the rules say he can't speak.
For anything.
They do. You
don't. No, I don't. I'm responding to your questions.
Please don't interrupt the witness.
That's Schiff in the background. Please don't interrupt the witness. Now, the proper response to that is, we're going to run the clock every time you talk, and if it comes back around to you, you don't get to talk. That time's going to be taken off of anything you say, Jim Shorts.
I think I was clear about I'm not here to take one side or the other or to advocate any particular outcome. So let me just restate that. Second thing is that my understanding is only coming from people that I talk to.
We got that.
I think this clarification from Ambassador Sondland was because he said he didn't remember this in his first deposition. So he wanted to kind of clarify. But I think, Mr. Jordan, the way I read this, he remembers it the same way I do.
Yeah, and it's real clear, right?
It's very clear to me.
Thank you, Ambassador Taylor.
Yeah, it's very clear to me. Is it okay to say that Jim Shorts Jordan is un-American? I know the right wing throws that around at us all the time. But when how is he being a good American with that snide, sarcastic, pissant behavior? And it's all he had. It's all he had. But we should bear in mind. That, among other things, Ambassador Taylor did drop a bomb today. And there wasn't a goddamn thing that the goons on the maggot goons could do about it. It was pretty profound. Because what he said was that, there was another recollection refreshed. And it had to do with another meeting that Taylor was involved with. Where they actually heard Trump jump in to the conversation. All right. Les wants in on this. Let's take it down to 545. I got 5 on it, says Les. Fuck Trump. Yes, indeed. It's cleansing. Because what Taylor said is that Trump was overheard on a phone call. And this is big. We didn't expect so-called bombshells today, but we got one. It was on July the 26th, the day after the shakedown phone call, which Republicans still insist on referring to a transcript of. But the transcript is locked away in a secret computer, saved for double secret probation stuff, and the thing that the White House released is marked not a transcript. So in his prepared remarks, his opening statement, Ambassador Taylor said, "Last Friday, a member of my staff told me of events that occurred on July the 26th. While Ambassador Volker and I visited the front, this member of my staff accompanied Ambassador Sondland. Ambassador Sondland met with Mr. Yermak." So you've got one of Taylor's staff with Ambassador Sondland in a meeting with the Ukrainian counterpart, Yermak. "Following that meeting, in the presence of my staff at a restaurant, Ambassador Sondland called President Trump and told him of his meetings in Kyiv. The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about
the investigation, the investigations.
Ambassador Sondland told President Trump that the Ukrainians were ready to move forward. Following the call with President Trump, the member of my staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland responded that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden, which Giuliani was pressing for. At the time I gave my deposition on October 22nd, I was not aware of this information. I'm including it here for completeness. As the committee knows, I reported this information through counsel to the State Department's legal advisor, as well as to counsel for both the majority and the minority on the committee. It is my understanding that the committee is following up on this matter."
What about the investigations?
And remember, the investigations is shorthand for what about the lies that I insist they tell before we give them the money. I have a feeling by the time this all shakes out, it's gonna have tentacles that reach out of government and into places like, for instance, the for-profit media. The New York Times, for instance, has a reporter on staff now who was actively involved in ginning up the fake, the bullshit lie about the Bidens. It got him a job. Russian incursions into Ukrainian territory don't matter to Nitwit Nero.
What about the investigations?
And the Republicans today pleading that, well, they got the money anyway. That's in the way, in the rules of civil procedure, there's something out there called subsequent remedial measures. And you can't plead that you're not liable because you went ahead and fixed the problem. And the other side can't plead that they fixed the problem, so that proves they knew they had a problem. It cuts both ways. But in this case, it's really bad because it was only by dumb luck that Volodymyr Zelensky, for whatever reasons, desperation is a reason, fear is a reason, getting overrun by Russians is a reason. But the bottom line is, Volodymyr Zelensky was willing to go on TV and tell the lies that Donald Trump wanted told in order to get the goddamn money. It's kind of terrifying to be invaded by the Russians. And that's where they are, and that's where they were. And only because on his way out the door, I mean, Jesus, it's weird saying anything halfway decent about John Pornstash Bolton. But on the way out the door, he's the one who approved the aid, said, fucking send it, and then said, I quit. Or maybe, you know, because Trump says he let him go, maybe he got canned for doing that. But when the news broke, we were 2 days away from CNN's Fareed Zakaria, millionaire, sitting down with Volodymyr Zelensky in order for Volodymyr Zelensky to tell the lies that he had been told were necessary conditions precedent to getting the money. And so now, millionaire Fareed Zakaria is dancing for all his worth to try to make sure that he doesn't and his network doesn't get ensnared in this mess for their willingness to be the vehicle for this whole sordid, filthy affair to play out. Okay, well, that's not a distinction without a difference. Kevin in Colorado Springs saying, Jim Jordan's not un-American. He's anti-American. God only knows what the Russians have. God only knows. As to career civil servants, Jim says, career civil service employees are at work for all of us. Fuck Trump. Indeed. And so that presented a big problem, what Bill Taylor said today about hearing Donald Trump ask specifically about how successful the shakedown had been. Mark Meadows, who some say is going to be the next chief of staff after Mulvaney's gone, he tried to put a brave face on the latest revelations about Trump's perpetration of bribery within the meaning of the impeachment clause in the Constitution. Didn't play well.
It was held, and so I think that we're consistent with that, and that's what we continue to hear.
But he said very clearly also, Gordon Sondland made this clear to him after he spoke to the president wanted these investigations launched connection with the aid.
That's what he said. Sorry to jump on. Well, we also know from Gordon Sondland, who now has sworn testimony that says he has no idea, you covered it, has no idea why the aid was ever held up. And so any knowledge that anybody has of what Ambassador Sondland may or may not have known, he is on the record to say that he does not know why the aid was held up. So if he doesn't know it, and he's conveying that to someone else, he is conveying something that he doesn't know. And so when we start to look at this, it all...
Yeah, except for the fact that the president was overheard asking, what about the investigations? Fuck Trump. By the way, courtesy of Billable Rick, it's a triple fuck Trump and the balloon he rode on. Fuck Trump, fuck Trump, fuck Trump, and the balloon he rode in on. And that takes us down to 525? I hope. 525. Fuck Trump, fuck Trump, fuck Trump, and the balloon he rode in on. But what's that, Mark Meadows? If this guy spins much more, he's liable to warp into another universe.
Starts to fall apart when you start tracking it back to who actually knew what when the aid was held up. For two reasons, I can tell you. One is the president has a deep-rooted concern about corruption.
That's already been disproven.
That is shared with the two witnesses in there today. They are concerned about the corruption that Ukraine has not only had, but even continues to struggle with today. The second part about that, and you've heard it a million times from this president, isn't it important, isn't it critically important that the French, the Germans, the UK, that they pay their fair share? Why is it always the American taxpayer that has to spend millions of dollars? And yet, even under this administration, not only were javelins given for the first time, but also aid was increased to Ukraine in spite of all of that.
But is it believable that Gordon Sondland doesn't recall this conversation with the president? But two witnesses say that he did relay this information from the president. Is it believable that Gordon Sondland just simply doesn't
remember? What two witnesses? Are you saying? Morrison
and Taylor.
Ambassador Taylor is the one who said that. So let's be specific.
But Morrison did testify.
Morrison testified the other day, and to my knowledge, they have not released his transcript. I think it would be highly appropriate for Mr. Morrison's transcript to be relayed, because I think when you see that, not only will he convey some of the things that are being talked about today, but he'll also convey the fact that the vice president made it very clear there was no condition whatsoever as it relates to the aid, and that the aid was released shortly after the vice
president. Shortly after they got caught. Because that's how it times out. I tell you what. The GOP has a lap full of sow's ears, and I don't put much stock in their ability to make silk purses. Well, let's run on over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Hey, Sparky, did you watch all this today?
Most of it.
What do you think?
Well, you've covered pretty much everything that I saw. I was in and out early this morning because I had to wake up early to start watching. So I kind of faded out. I was laying on my bed and watching at the same time, and I kind of faded in and out at the beginning. But I got most of the Jim Shorts and Jordan conversation.
Jesus, what a clown. I mean, I'm trying to figure it. Do people in his district tune in and say, gosh, I'm so proud Jim Shorts Jordan is my congressman?
They must. He's the voice of the American people.
He's the voice of the white heartland.
He kept saying the American people, the American people.
Yeah,
I feel like, well, there's a majority of American people that want him impeached.
Yeah, they don't need things like facts. Facts only get in the way. So, well, there's a bunch more of this. I did have one other clip that I wanted to run. But let me see who we've got on the stress line too. Hey, welcome to the group.
Hi, this is Kevin.
Hey,
Colorado Springs.
Hey, Kevin, glad to have you aboard, my friend.
Good to be here.
Anything busting your buttons right off the bat?
Further elaborate on the Jim Jordan anti-American comment. He's anti-American because he's putting party above country to defend instead of going through the investigation, hearing the witnesses, and then making a decision. He's already made the decision to defend Trump regardless of the evidence, and that would be anti-American because...
Let me ask you, Kevin, why do you suppose a person would do that?
Because money. Because Trump, because money, because of the Russian money flowing into
how about because maybe somebody has dirt on him? How about because the Russians not only hacked the DNC but the RNC server? They only released the DNC stuff.
Yep.
Reckon maybe the Russians are sitting on maybe knowledge that Jim Shorts has admitted somewhere that he knew that Dr. Strauss was raping those boys?
It's a possibility. And what I wonder is, when will come the time the Russians release the RNC hacks? When does that happen? What causes that to happen?
It only happens if they break. If they stop doing what they're paid to do, then the information or the compromat will come out.
Yes, but as these hearings go on and more evidence is released against Trump, to save their political lives, I believe there will be Republicans who will break with the party. There might be only one or two, but there will be a couple that to survive politically in their states, they will have to come out against Trump. And that's when it gets really interesting.
Well, what about, you're in Colorado, what about Cory Gardner?
I don't see it happening. However, he is in a lot of trouble in the Senate race out here, and it could happen. It's a possibility. I could see it happening with Cory Gardner. It might take a while, but I could see it happening because he stands a good chance of losing this Senate election, a very good chance. And they tried to recall. I'm sure Lady B has commented on it. They tried to recall against Polis and several other of the state Democrats, and that failed miserably. They couldn't get enough signatures to even proceed with the recall to put it on the ballot. And that doesn't bode well for Cory Gardner. Just that alone doesn't bode well for him. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting next 12 months. And I'll be interested to see what happens.
Watch this space. Let's kind of go around the room. Darlene, your thoughts today?
Yeah. Hey, Bob. Where do I begin? Can I talk about some superficial kind of stuff?
You can talk about anything you want. It's a regular joint.
Well, I see Bill Taylor as being Mueller-esque, but without the fucked up rewiring of the brain that occurs when you go to law school. So he was very unencumbered, and it was so refreshing to hear this man who, the moment he spoke, both me and my assistant were like, here in the office, we were like, oh my God, he's got a voice and he knows how to use it. And it was so refreshing to hear this man lay it out without any kind of second guessing of himself. I mean, he even sat there and read his own text messages. He had no qualms about reading what he wrote, unlike Mueller. And he was so clear and so straightforward, and it was refreshing to hear this. And to get even more superficial, the more and more I heard George Kent talk, the more I respected him. And I think, and this is probably a dirty little secret among women, but women do like men in bow ties.
Really?
They do. And he pulled it off. And I think it was in response to Andre Carson, who is a Democrat from Indiana, when he was asking, and it's interesting because both men referred to Marie Yovanovitch as Masha, which I have to assume is her real, you know, name, Slovenian name or wherever she's from, which shows a certain level of intimacy or familiarity. They clearly respect her. And it was at that point that, you know, the very straightforward kind of serious George Kent said, well, in response to Andre Carson about, what happens when you upset people who are corrupt. And George Kent said, well, you piss off people who are corrupt. And everybody kind of laughed, and Carson kind of reacted. You know, the very distinguished Andre Carson was like, because you didn't expect him to say they get pissed off, which is why, Trump canned her. And you could see that George Kent was basically saying, I'm pissed off at how she was treated. And that they clearly have a tremendous amount of respect. So I look forward to seeing her on Friday. I think she will be testifying on Friday. And I look forward to seeing what she, hearing what she has to say. But today, I think that both men, in particular, Bill Taylor, excoriated Jim Jordan. I think the Republicans looked pretty damned ineffective. And I think a lot of the arguments that they made actually wound up making things more damning for Trump. because they were talking, they were trying to, of course, bring in Obama, and the fact that I guess he, well, I don't think Obama was as strong on the military. And I think he was more hesitant when this was all beginning with the Ukraine. And they were trying to point out how Trump was giving the, you know, those javelins seemed to be a big deal for Volodymyr Zelensky, and that Obama really didn't do that and wasn't as strong on the military end of things. But I think that made the case that because Trump was supposedly giving more on the military end of things, he had more more leverage against the Ukraine and could hold more against them and could really get more out of Volodymyr Zelensky. So I think that a lot of their arguments backfired and that they didn't have much to go on. So, I mean, those are just sort of my initial takes on things.
And this was and the thing is, it's kind of a bummer that I'm not going to be here tomorrow and Friday, because I think that's maybe when the fireworks are going to happen.
Oh, I think they're building up. I mean, I think that this was the beginning. And Bill Taylor said that. He said, I'm not the star witness. I'm not by any measure the star witness. So I think that, and Schiff did a terrific job. I think he's so good with managing this whole thing, staying calm and being direct and directing everything in a way to get the story out. And I'm very proud of Jim Hines. I think he did a great job. I think the Democrats did a really good job today.
I do too, across the board. I think Terry Sewell of Alabama did a fine job. And, you know, that's...
Oh, she's wonderful.
There's one Democrat in Alabama, and it's her.
Oh, she's fantastic.
And she came loaded for bear.
Oh yeah, these are African American women that kill it. They just bring it home, and I was very impressed. And I think that, you know, Ratcliffe, I'm sorry, I see that motherfucker talking, and I'm like, okay, what position is he auditioning for in the Trump administration now? You know, what is he trying to go for? And I think Jim Jordan was just totally ineffective, and he had to keep talking over, even though he surpassed his time, because he was ineffective. It was absolutely ineffective.
Well, I have a delightful clip here from the exchange between Ratcliffe. Remember, he was almost a member of the administration,
with the emphasis on the rat.
Yes. He was also almost a member of the administration until people found out that, well, he's a liar and had lied about his past work experience. Not quite as bad as the woman who submitted a fake Time magazine cover, but...
Oh, her. Oh, God, yeah.
But they're all... It's root and branch, Darlene. There is no one. Associated with, and I include the anonymous person who wrote a warning. That person's got to have some degree of corruption, because they're so goddamn cowardly they won't speak out. But I have this is a delightful clip between Ratcliffe and Ambassador Taylor. It's that moment when Ratcliffe asks the witnesses to tell him where the impeachable conduct is. Beautiful.
In this impeachment hearing today, where we impeach presidents for treason or bribery or other high crimes, where is the impeachable offense in that call? Are either of you here today to assert there was an impeachable offense in that call? Shout it out. Anyone?
He's so proud of himself, he's about to yell, Bueller. Uh-oh, though. Looks like Ambassador Taylor has something to say.
Mr. Ratcliffe, if I can just respond, let me just reiterate that I'm not here.
I've got 1 minute left.
I know you only got a minute left.
You asked the witness a question.
The witness
I will draw the question.
I'm not here to take one side or the other. That's your
Ambassador, decision. Let me answer this.
The general will suspend.
Suspend the time,
Ambassador
please.
Taylor, would you like to answer the question?
Suspend the time, please. I withdrew the question.
The gentleman will suspend. We will suspend the clock.
Suspend the clock. 1 minute, please.
Ambassador Taylor, would you like to respond to the question?
Mr. Ratcliffe, I would just like to say that I'm not here to do anything having to do with to decide about impeachment. That is not what either of us are here to do. This is your job.
Scared Ratcliffe to death. Shout it out, smartass.
Yeah, that's not too hard to do to scare Ratcliffe, quite frankly. And, you know, one of the Democratic members also did this with Robert Mueller, but and I have to look up his name. But he did this with Bill Taylor to talk about his qualifications as a witness and brought up the fact that Bill Taylor graduated fifth in his class at West Point. And I assume that was back in the 60s or 70s. And it must have been a very different West Point because, of course, it conjures
1969.
So it conjures up Pompeo.
Yeah, first in his class at West Point.
It was a very different West Point with Pompeo, or that whole thing about him being first in his class somebody needs to do a deep dive into it.
Maybe they changed the grading scale or the curve, Darlene, and maybe they gave greater weight to boot licking and toe sucking by the time Pompeo was there. I don't know.
Which is really sad because I totally see Bill Taylor. He has the gravitas. I totally see him being in the upper echelon 1% at West Point. And I mean, I visited West Point once as a child. I was like 13 years old. I don't remember much of it. I remember watching an Army-Navy football game and looking across the front lawn at those majestic buildings. I remember the bus ride home, and I was the only kid on the bus that had a tape recorder at the time. This was in the 70s. And I remember us listening to Debbie Harry's Heart of Glass. And those are the only things I remember. And I have a stepdaughter who wants to go into Army boot camp next year, and I would love to take her there to West Point just for her to see what it's like, you know, what the cadets are doing and things like that. But I feel like it doesn't add up with Pompeo. And he has a shit ton to answer for, and so does Sondland. That son of a bitch has a lot to answer for based on what I heard today.
Well, you know, he's another real estate guy. He rehabilitates buildings and turns them into hotels in places like Portland and Seattle and Chicago and Denver and whatnot. And everything's transactional to him, too. So he gave $1 million to Trump's inaugural campaign. He thinks, okay, well, and, you know, ambassador to the EU, that's kind of a plum. It doesn't require, the career civil servants can keep you from, you know, from peeing on your shoelaces and whatnot. But then he gets pulled into this Ukraine stuff, and all he knows how to do is to be a lick spittle. He's there to do the bidding of the guy he gave the $1 million to. So
yeah. And when you contrast that with the two witnesses today,
hang on a minute. Somebody's sharing their screen on Skype.
Oh, I see that.
You're doing a PayPal thing.
Yeah, okay. Unshare your screen or whatever, please.
Who's doing that?
I can't tell.
Oh, just got some breaking news courtesy of the New York Times. So much losing. Nitwit Nero's lost again.
To what?
He's lost another battle over his financial records and his taxes.
Good.
So away to the Supreme Court. So away to the Supreme Court it goes. He's going to combust at some point.
When is this nation going to be critically low on popcorn?
Well, that's true too.
I think the Supreme Court should consolidate all his various cases and just say, you lose, Donald.
Yeah, but you know,
can we actually use a RICO statute to get all the idiots in Congress that are, you know, helping covering this up?
You'd have to prove some sort. Well, no. The short answer is no.
Damn it.
But
someone's still sharing the screen, Bob. It's not me. I don't have a camera.
Me either.
Oh,
it just went off.
It went off.
Okay. Good.
But I think the two witnesses today were refreshing. And I think
they were pros. That... And again, like Jim pointed out, you know, they're career civil servants. Taylor was, Taylor was hauled, was specifically asked into the administration.
Yeah. And he made it clear that he was hesitant and that there were certain conditions for him to continue, to be involved. And he said he had consulted, his wife, it sounds like his wife is very, had a lot of influence in his decision and said, there are certain conditions have to be met, which it sounded like he got kind of a verbal promise from Pompeo, who is clearly a bigger player in this, although he's trying to kind of present himself as a backseat player.
Oh, no, I read a profile of him not long back. He is the consummate yes man for Trump. He's hung around as long as he has because he won't buck him. He won't challenge him. He just snaps off a salute and says, yes, sir. And in many ways, Mick Mulvaney was like that until Mick Mulvaney started thinking about how he'd look in orange.
Well, to quote Richard Panner, Trump's goose is cooked. After what I've seen today, it looks like they've got him on a sling, and it's only going to go downhill for him. Now, of course, we got the Senate, and need I say more? And that concerns me very much. But at least history will reflect positively on us that we tried to do the right thing. We can't help what other people do,
Well, looking at the two public servants that we saw today, gives me. I don't know. I'm heartened to see that there's still some good statesmen and women left.
Yeah, wasn't that refreshing?
It was very refreshing, Sparky. Very, very refreshing.
Well, that's Steve, actually.
Yeah, that's Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. I get you guys mixed up.
Yeah, everybody does that. We must have baritone voices or something. But
I love those great voices. That's what I love the baritone.
Yeah, Steve, you and Sparky sound a lot alike.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Don't think of anybody else I'd rather sound alike.
Hey, speaking of voices, I thought Bill Taylor has quite a set of pipes.
You got it, baby.
Yes. Him read the Mueller report.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, on Audible.
There's another little piece of scary news today. Sorry. While all this was taking place over in the Longworth House Office Building, they were having a session in the Supreme Court. They were having oral arguments there today.
On DACA?
No, that was yesterday. But absent from the oral arguments was Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, God, she was out from illness, I saw on Twitter.
Yeah, she's got some sort of stomach bug, stomach virus, they said. And, all I can say is if mine was any good, I'd share.
They don't do stomach transplants, do they, Bob?
No, but you can get a plastic one.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's good.
But I just, God.
Damn it. We need to encapsulate her in a glass capsule somewhere.
We need to cryogenically freeze her
Sort of like Captain Pike.
Feed her through a tube until we need her to sit on the court, you know.
But she's a tough bird.
She is. God bless her, man.
Well, she kicked pancreatic cancer twice.
And intestinal and colon cancer once.
Oh, my God.
And lung cancer once.
Wow. Jeez.
And I'll tell you, she's, what is she, 85?
86.
86.
Wow.
I've seen her workout routine, and she can kick my ass in a workout routine.
I couldn't get through it.
It would wear me out, yeah.
Notorious RGB.
RBG.
RBG.
RBG. Mix that up too.
Rick, how you doing, brother? You
having I'm doing okay. I can't complain. Tonight's karaoke night, so I'm going to do the white light.
Oh, nice, nice.
All right, Bill them all. I'm waiting.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Were you there that Friday when I was daring everyone to sing Disney tunes?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know Disney tunes. I don't do that.
Or no, it was Broadway tunes, I think.
Okay, well, that's yeah, I don't do that either.
Darn it.
Just rock and roll for me, that's all. Yeah.
I would if the price was right, you know. Shit.
Yeah. If you know the songs, I suppose. I don't know the songs, so that's the problem.
Hey, you know what? I could always bring Agnes in here to sing some Little Mermaid.
Oh, there you go.
Did you guys see the live version the other night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, geez.
Let's see here.
Bob, you got your PJs all pressed and ready for the sleep study tomorrow and Friday? Or?
Yeah, and I've got a little bit of, you know, I've got a little bit of a second all tucked away. And
Nice, nice. You're just going to fool the hell out of them, ain't you?
If I ain't snoring, it ain't working.
So this is an apnea test, Bob, or what?
No, we're joking. It's a running joke. Okay. He's got personal business. He's got to tend to, Brother Rick.
Is that personal business
pretty solid, Bob? Or are you going to surprise us by possibly actually saying, "Oh, it got rescheduled"?
No, I'll be gone.
Okay.
These are 2 days that are just long and unavoidable.
Okay.
It happens. It happens, man. It happens to us all.
How's the fuck Trump thing going, Bob?
We have fuck Trumped our way down to $525.
That's pretty good.
and remember, there's no minimum. We can fuck Trump for $1 or fuck Trump for $100 or fuck Trump for $525. To finish out the fundraising, I'd say fuck Trump from now till 8 o'clock, and we'd just pick back up with the group again. But you know.
Is it my imagination, or did the presser with Erdogan actually happen almost immediately after the hearing concluded? That's what I saw on C-SPAN.
What was Trump blathering on about? Well, we have the oil, we have the oil, we have the oil, and he repeated it like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, what on earth?
Actually, he looked to me, Megan, he looked pretty stable.
A stable genius, no less.
When he rambles like that, he sounds like my demented mom on a good night. Seriously, this guy, he needs to go.
I like the part though where he pissed and moaned about who he's willing to take questions from. Stand by.
Oh, boy. Minorities is an area where we're especially sensitive about, and we have certain different plans. Whether it be the ones remaining on the side of Syria, whose sanctuaries have been destroyed, whose churches have been destroyed, we'll see their sanctuaries getting revived, and their churches will be reconstructed so that they can go back and start praying there again. And these are the plans that we're making for them. As I said before, the Christian minorities, Aramaic, Christian Catholics, Caldani and Yazidi, the ones who are living on our side of the border, have no problems whatsoever. But the ones remaining on the side of the Syrian territory will see their worshipping practices restored and revived in a special manner. They're receiving health care, they're receiving humanitarian aid in every aspect possible.
This is, of course, a line of complete and utter bullshit from, you know, the dictator Erdogan. But eventually, well, sooner or later, Nitwit Nero is going to talk.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would you like to pick somebody?
Good.
A friendly person from Turkey, please. Friendly. Only friendly reporters. We like to see. There aren't too many of them around.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Yeah, only friendly reporters, right?
Right, Jesus. Because he's such a doll to interview, right?
Because he's so respectful to the press. Hey, you know what? I conjured Agnes. She heard what I said. So instead of me doing the singing.
Why? Why do you want
because,
to do
because
this?
Everybody loves you.
They here. Won't after that.
Well, here, I'll even give you the
cans. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't want the cans. No. Okay.
Sing us a tune, Miss Agnes, please.
No, like you need to hear it. Steve, you don't. Sing us a tune, Miss Agnes, please.
Thank you, Steve. Ag him on a little bit more.
You're a lovely person, and your voice is just as lovely, so I know you can do this.
I love you. No, I sound like a hillbilly.
No, you don't. You got a great voice.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. Oh, no, it's bad. Who can trump Egon and Trump? I mean, you know. What
I'm not being self-patronizing, but I've been in the studio. You've got a good voice. So
you do. Yeah, but I think he's developing an attachment to Ariel, and I'm getting worried.
No, you just do it so
aww.
You know, it's the redhead thing.
That's cute.
Yeah, but I'm more like Tinkerbell. I'm not an Ariel. I mean, she was a hoarder. Too.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah, but he won't let me sprinkle fairy dust. See, I mean,
honestly, that's wrong. That stuff is expensive.
Yeah, and I'm sort of like John out of the story. I keep losing my marbles, so you know. Hold on, and I'm going to turn you back over to Bob.
No, you're saying.
Well, okay, just take him.
Okay. All right.
She's such a lovely lady.
Leave me alone.
Get up on the mic.
I'll put apple bubble gum in your nose holes.
Get up.
Go away.
Get up.
I might like it.
Really, there it is. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything, like bronchitis? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you'd think, sure, she's got everything. That's all you're getting, Bob, okay? Your calliope's crashed to the ground.
Yay, applause.
Oh, my goodness. Yay, you're getting applause.
Thank you.
Sound like a fairy.
Cowbell for Agnes.
Yeah, cowbell for Agnes. Wait a minute.
Thank you. Woo-hoo.
She's a lovely person. Her voice is just as lovely, Bob. Sincerely.
Most relaxing voice, and it's not easy to sing in soprano. Because it's all in your head. That's what I always found. It's tough. Man, not easy.
In a recording studio, we can make millions, man. <There
you go. laughs> The horn label.
Oh, and wait a minute. Let's call it 5:15. Fuck Trump. Asa, Brother Deacon Asa has found a new hobby. So we're down to 5:15. Fuck Trump. Ah, oh, Jesus.
That's great.
No, but one thing I had mentioned, the CNN connection, because I kind of want to get a look. I'm not gooning on Volodymyr Zelensky. I would, if I were in his place, I would do just about anything I needed to do to keep the Russian bear off my doorstep. And
yeah,
so
the javelins were huge.
Yeah,
he brought that up. Those things.
Wait a minute. There's a bone of contention that's really bothering me, and that is this whole, you know, Obama was weak and didn't give Ukraine weapons. Mm-hmm. Weren't they under another president where limiting lethal aid was like kind of, you know?
And they kept bringing up CNN like it was a pejorative or something. What the hell is that all about, man?
Well, the CNN part of it. CNN, Fareed Zakaria, the millionaire, multimillionaire. Remember, all of these talking heads are multimillionaires. They share as much in common with you and I as I don't know. Ballerinas do with coal miners. So CNN had become the outlet where Volodymyr Zelensky was going to do Trump's bidding. We were 2 days away at the time that the story broke from him going on and telling the lies about the Bidens that Trump insisted be told. Trump was quoted as saying, I want
to hear three words come out of his mouth. Biden, Clinton, investigation. Okay?
And CNN was within 2 days of being part and parcel of that. So now they're trying to explain it away. And Fareed Zakaria in particular's credibility is at hazard. So here's that.
People, there have been numerous subpoenas that have been not complied with at the direction of the president. Why does he not want those people to speak? It may well be that they can inform us even more about the apparent strategy that was happening on the ground. And as far as Rudy Giuliani is concerned, we also have...
Skip a bit, brother. So we'll just cruise forward a little ways. Ah, there's Fareed.
Rudy Giuliani, you have covered international politics for years. Obviously, there are back channels in foreign relations. Things are not always done through the ambassador. Does this remind you of anything that you've ever heard of before?
No, it's really quite unusual. And I think Ambassador Taylor was very clear and intelligent and articulate on that issue. He said the problem is not having a separate channel. And that was not his problem with it, though he found it somewhat irregular. The problem was having a separate channel that is trying to achieve the president's personal political goals, not national security. So when Henry Kissinger back-channeled to do the opening to China, that was a back channel, but it was in support of a national interest of the United States decided upon by the president, which was to try and have a rapprochement with China. Here what you have is an irregular back channel where you've seconded some political appointees and some State Department career officials. But what you are using it for, this is the key, you are using it for a personal political payoff. That is why all the people down this chain have been so alarmed. It was State Department professionals know that the president is the boss. He has political advisors. Those people may come in from time to time. That's not a problem. They've lived with that. What is a problem is when the president is trying to pursue his personal political efforts and use American foreign policy and the apparatus of American foreign policy to do that.
So, Fareed, you actually and your show are actually relevant. They're part of this whole story.
Here it comes.
Because you were the CNN person set to interview President Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. Taylor testified, Ambassador Bill Taylor said, he did not want Zelensky to do that interview where Zelensky was supposed to announce these investigations that he was going to do. Take a listen to this excerpt from the testimony today.
Ms. Goldman, I know that the Ukrainians were very concerned about the security assistance. And I know that they were prepared or preparing to make a public statement, that is, with a CNN interview, that was being planned. Those are the two pieces that I know.
And that CNN interview was to announce these investigations as you understood it, right?
That was the implication. That was certainly the implication.
So, Fareed, and a reminder, of course, to everybody watching in the United States that your show airs all over the world, including in Ukraine. So there's a reason why CNN or CNNI would be chosen for this. But what did you know about this interview when you and your team were trying to negotiate a sit down with the new president of Ukraine, who, regardless of this investigation.
And minus all the palaver, this is actually fairly important.
Stuff and the Ukraine scandal was a legitimate story and compelling player in his own right.
It's a great question. So first, let me be clear. Of course, we had no knowledge that President Zelensky was going to announce this investigation into the Bidens and into 2016 during the interview. My guess is that the way they were thinking about it, as politicians often do if they're planning an interview, is that they were going to reveal certain things at a certain point. Presumably, I would have asked him a question, what are you doing about rooting out corruption in Ukraine? And he would say, well, here's what I'm doing. But the backstory is this. We had been trying to get an interview with President Zelensky pretty much since once he got elected. A very interesting character. Ukraine, as you just heard all of today, is in the front lines of this great struggle between the West and Russia. And they had been encouraging, and we had been negotiating back and forth. Things picked up around August and September. I went to Kiev to meet with him. It seemed it was confirmed. And then it fell apart right about the time just after the news of the whistleblower came out. So it is possible to conclude that they realized this story was now public, so, the aid had been released, they didn't need to do the interview.
Okay, Fareed, sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt. They're doing the vote right now, and they're doing a roll call in the House. And
Ixnay. Ixnay on the unfession K. Does that, I mean, does that hold water for you? That they had no idea what they were walking into? Oh, no. You know, we wanted an interview with Zelensky all along. We didn't know what he was going to talk about. I mean, we he used to be on TV. Maybe he was going to tell jokes.
No.
Well, a name like that, of course he was going to tell jokes, right?
Well, I mean, you do know he's got a 20-year history on Ukrainian TV, right?
Oh, was he the comedian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. I heard about that. Yeah. I heard about his election like back in the spring, you know? So that's the same guy. All right. I got it now.
You know, and don't forget,
hey, Bob. I mean,
he's basically new. I mean, he had just been elected. Sorry, Megan. He had just been elected. So, you know, this was all hitting him kind of early on.
Yeah.
Trump.
And by the way, James offers an interesting perspective out Illinois way. Obama aid to Ukraine. Obama couldn't give Ukraine a goddamn thing that didn't originate in Paul Ryan's house with McConnell's blessing.
Okay. Yeah,
oh, that's right. Okay. You now it makes sense.
Okay. I knew there had to be more to this. Quite frankly, I didn't give a shit about that part. You knew they were going to bring up Clinton, Hillary, and, you know, I thought they would focus more on Hillary, but the fact that they brought up Obama as sort of the scapegoat didn't surprise me. And I almost was like, I don't really care, because I still, like I said to Bob earlier on, I feel like it still reinforced the idea that, whatever I said before about, I lost
Obama
my train.
Obama was weak on Ukraine, not giving lethal aid right away.
Yeah, but it reinforced the idea that Trump had more leverage, because, you know, their line of argument was that, well, you know, Trump was tougher, was more supportive of the Ukraine because
wasn't there a rep that kept going on about that, said that at least three times?
He was heavier on the military stuff, but that also gave him more leverage against Volodymyr Zelensky, because Zelensky wanted those javelins. So that gave him more leverage to say, well, you know, we have a favor to ask you, though. And he was made him more desperate because, you know, they needed the United States for the military assistance. So to me, I didn't really think that it necessarily harmed things to say, to argue, even if it was wrongly so, that, you know, Obama supposedly didn't do enough, whereas Trump did more. But again, I'm seeing that as he had more leverage over the Ukraine because
he had more handles to
handle. He had a compliant Congress. Trump can do whatever he wants to do.
Precisely, yeah.
The Senate will approve it because it's a Republican Senate. And before the 2018 elections, he could do whatever he wanted with Paul Ryan as
the Speaker
of the House. So
there's more.
It's a false analogy. It's basically a false analogy, is what it is. Saying that
they're just twisting things around to make it look like they're always the heroes. And I knew that there was something hinky about that.
They kept
going on about how Obama was weak on Ukraine aid, and I was like, that just kind of...
It's a Republican theme.
Can I say something about Obama?
Et cetera.
Yeah, go ahead, Sparky.
The Javelin missile is a complicated weapon. At the time, there was different regime in Ukraine, and there was
people that did in the Pentagon, and they didn't want to give them Javelin missiles because they figured it might fall into enemy hands or something. Ukrainian might corruption might sell it on the black market.
When Obama was president, Sparky?
Yes.
So that makes perfect sense.
That's why they didn't give him any Javelins.
Precisely. Okay.
And remember, well, all of this starts...
Previous administration in Ukraine?
Well, that's the thing. The origin of all of this is that Russia invades Crimea only after the Ukrainians chuck out Putin's pro-Moscow puppet president.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I thought.
The guy that Manafort worked for, basically, to get him elected. that guy.
The one who's now wearing orange, Manafort?
Yeah, that one.
That guy?
That one, yes.
None
of this came up in the hearing.
That's another one of the bullshit sideshows that they're putting up. Well, we're not calling. We need to call Andrea Chalupa.
Dude. How about calling the Chupacabra or something?
No. Her name's Andrea Chalupa. That's her real name. And she was part of the opposition research, and she went to the Ukrainian embassy in D.C. and worked with some folks there doing oppo research on Paul Manafort, who was balls deep in the pocket of what's his name, Poroshenko? Yanukovych?
Right.
Yanukovych.
Yanukovych, yeah.
Who was Putin's puppet. And, you know, was engaged, that's how he wound up, Manafort wound up being umpty bajillion dollars in debt because of his associations with these people. Hmm. But back as far back as March of 2014, the U.S. pledged $1 billion in aid. $1 billion.
Mm.
Wow.
March 2014, $1 billion in aid to Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a lot of blankets and MREs.
Yeah, it is. At the time, former ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, was quoted saying, "We are enduring a drift of disengagement in world affairs. As we pull back, Russia is pushing forward. I worry about the new nationalism that Putin has unleashed and understand that many young Russians also embrace these extremist ideas." 23 April 2014, 600 U.S. troops from the 173rd Airborne participated in bilateral exercises in Poland and the Baltic. So we were trying to show that, you know, that we were willing to defend an ally. And everybody and their cousin that stood to be invaded by Russia wanted missile defense systems. Georgia asked for a missile defense system. And I don't mean the Jimmy Carter Georgia.
But that's Georgia.
Yeah, wrong Georgia.
Speaking of Republicans,
Georgia on my mind.
Yeah, wrong, no.
Who was has anyone brought up who the hell is Rep Stefanik, who was just a female in league with all the Jim Jordans and the Devin Nunes's, and like she came out of left field, and then her questioning, she seemed to think that it was just an investigation into the Bidens, and then she tried to like push the transcript to be put into record with Schiff, and Schiff was just kind of laughing at her like, it's already in there. I was just kind of scratching my head at her like, really?
Well, she's not getting a lot of good press out of today. Jesus. Chief political analyst, Matthew Dowd at ABC, of course, you'll remember he's a loyal Bushy. And I'm surprised he hasn't already been run out of his job for having said this. He said that Elise Stefanik, and by the way, she comes from New York. He said Elise Stefanik is a perfect example of why just electing someone because they're a woman or a millennial doesn't necessarily get you the leaders we need. Elise is,
Too busy looking at her fucking phone, cell phone while Taylor was talking until she realized the camera was on her. Just saying.
And then they did, and then Matthew Dowd was compelled to pull back his tweet. He said, I think people misunderstand my tweet, so I will delete. I'm saying, just saying we need more millennials or more women isn't going to solve the problem of needing more leaders with integrity. Vote integrity no matter what. So he deleted it, but he insulted her even more, saying she has no integrity.
Well, what do you think of the other?
I find it kind of rich.
Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows isn't even part of the Intel committee, is he? And he's not even good at his spin. You know, I mean, the best that he could say, you know, because Bill Taylor gave a really nice, it was a lengthy opening statement, but he gave a really nice brief recent historical on the United States and the Ukraine and why the United States involvement in the Ukraine is so important. And his spin was basically, oh, people were yawning in the background, which to me is sort of a hats off to, you know, let's be ignorant, America. That's the best way to be.
Oh, but she, but, so I'm sitting here sharing this story, and he's the chief political analyst for ABC, right? So what does the idiot Elise Stefanik do? She said, it's a good thing I wasn't raised to measure my self-worth or professional work based on tweets from some self-important MSNBC commentators like Dowd.
Oops. Wow, that sounded mature.
Well, she accused him of being with MSNBC because, you know, that's where all the liberals are. She probably doesn't even know that Matthew Dowd was one of the architects of the goddamned Iraq War.
Bob, that just shows you where their heads are at. It's firmly up their butts. Like, I couldn't even listen to Devin Nunes' opening speech today. I had to mute it because I was like, he was just up off and running in his own alternate fantasy reality universe, whatever Republicans are existing in these days. And it, for any sane, rational human being, it has a, you know, a good working relationship with reality. You're just going to sit there and look at them, scratch your heads, like, what are you talking about? And who was the guy that kept going on, kept insisting that the Ukraine aid, Ukraine benefited more from the Trump administration than the Obama administration? He said it at least 60 times. Like, what was the purpose of that?
It's all just background noise, isn't it?
Keep repeating and repeating. Like Trump.
Yeah, say it, you know, say it until it becomes the truth.
Like I said, I just think that the Republicans really just, it was just a sideshow and it didn't.
Well, it's only going to get worse for them.
Yeah,
and it's going to get really bad for them when they send these freaks out to attack Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Oh God!
Oh, didn't he get fired?
They removed him from the National Security Council staff.
Oh my God!
Well, I mean,
but they damn sure didn't take away his commission.
You know, George Kent mentioned him and Masha Yovanovitch and one other person, you know, that these were individuals that were born in other countries. They were immigrants and they came here as, you know, to support the United States and are bona fide American citizens who care about this country and are doing the right thing, you know, to help this country's national security interests. I mean, sadly, he mentioned Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski as well. I don't have as much difficulty with Zbigniew Brzezinski as I do with Kissinger, but I don't know, for some reason Kissinger seems to escape scrutiny amongst the G-men, but yeah.
What drives me crazy about Kissinger is the willingness of certain Democrats to get out there and bow and scrape in front of him when the man should have spent the last 40 yeah. or 50 years of his life in some reasonable facsimile of Spandau Prison.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, as to Sochi and Crimea, James in Illinois says, Vlad's been planning this for a long time. They could have held the Winter Olympics anywhere. Sochi was really too warm, and it's not like Russia has a shortage of cold winter weather. Sochi requires snow machines. It gave them an excuse to mass troops on the border with Crimea. Look at the map. Well, now.
Pooty is a communist reporter. He was in the KGB for a number of years.
Yeah, those Olympics ended, that invasion occurred like within weeks of the Olympics, if I recall.
Oh, man.
A month after, even? Yeah.
Tracy's in here and has been mighty quiet. What's up, Tracy?
Haven't heard a peep out of her.
Well, that's because all the white folks been talking.
We've been saying hi to her as well. She hasn't said hi back. Bob, what's the deal?
My feelings is hurt.
Yeah, I know. Well, she's probably doing her cab driving deal.
She's lurking.
Yeah, she's probably stuck somewhere between the 2/3 and the 5 7/8 or something like that. Yeah.
She's good people.
I'm walking.
Okay. She's walking. Okay.
Hey, there she is. Hey, Tracy.
There she is. How you doing, sweetheart?
Getting her exercise.
Hey, fuck Trump, especially, no. Right, Tracy?
Fuck Trump. When I'm done with my walk, I will chime in. I just didn't want you guys to have my background noise of all the traffic.
You say
I'm finishing my 2-mile walk.
All right, Tracy. Girl. Rock on.
I will hit y'all back as soon as I'm done.
All right,
Tracy.
Okay, cool.
Sounds good, Tracy.
I heard a puppy.
Well, Tracy's motivated me to try to get to below 200 if I can, or to 200, let's say.
I'd do a mile a day.
Okay, all right.
This is walk the dog at least a mile and a half, otherwise he's climbing the walls.
Where are you, Rick? You said trying to get to 200.
218.
Ah, damn it. Okay, you got me by 7.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll start smoking, Bob. Maybe that'll help.
Oh, shut up.
No, I won't.
Don't do that, Rick.
No, I won't.
Hey, don't start smoking cigarettes. Let's be clear.
Yeah. God forbid.
I was about to say, you're talking about tobacco?
Yes.
How you doing with that, Brother Bob? If it's bad news, it's okay.
No. I said on Monday. We had a very long day Monday, and I fell apart like a house of cards. But I'm not.
All right.
But my head is still in the right place, so it's going to happen.
Right. Well, there's another day. You can try again, man. There's no rules, you know.
It's about substitution and rewards, Bob. So you reward yourself for succeeding.
That's why I got the giant bag of mini Tootsie Pops yesterday.
He'll get it, man. I have no doubt.
It's a pity they don't make sugar-free Tootsie Pops.
That's right.
Maybe I need to check Amazon because
probably taste like they ass, do. Bob. Come they on.
Do. Probably taste like what?
Ass.
No. Todd and I covered that last night. That's the chocolate Tootsie Pops. The most disappointing Tootsie Poppy in the entire bag.
Yeah, it is.
Ban them.
I know they got sugar-free hard candy somewhere.
Yeah, it's. But the thing is, you look kind of gross if you're constantly taking the hard candy out of your mouth and putting it back in. The whole reason, as we learned from Kojak, the whole reason for the sucker is because you get the hand-to-mouth activity that you get with a cigarette.
Oh,
there's a couple.
My grandmother said when my grandfather's trying to stop that he had toothpicks rolled up in his sleeve. Oh. So he'd have always something on hand rolled up in his sleeve and he could stick in his mouth without, you know.
Oh, your granddad was one of those badasses that kept his cigarettes in his shirt sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
My dad started chewing gum when he decided to quit. So that was his deal. He would always have spearmint? Yeah, spearmint, because they didn't have very many kinds of mints back then in the 70s or whatever, you know. Oh.
So just this is in the days before Nicorette.
Don't do what, Sparky?
That Chantix stuff. I tried that. I didn't get back past a couple of days. It really screwed up my sleep.
No, I've had so many people say leave the Chantix alone. I have no desire to try that whatsoever. Even my doc said, nah, you're either going to quit or you're not.
I gave it to one of my apprentices, and he was able to quit with it. But I was able to go cold turkey.
Is that the one with the tripped out looking turkey in the commercial?
Yes, that stupid commercial.
May cause harbulary thyroid cancer.
Woohoo! Fun. You may as well just smoke the cigarette.
Yeah, I'll risk the arsenic and the strychnine and everything else that's in the cigarettes, right? What the hell?
Huh? Get the tar.
Yeah. All the additives, the benzene.
Well, yeah, I actually did the math, and when I strap on the patch, I'm getting more nicotine than I actually get from smoking.
What? Doesn't that defeat the purpose?
Well, I mean, so arguably I should be able to. It's again. The nicotine is the addictive part of it. The other, you know, the other component though, is the associative habit.
Yeah, so what do you mean?
Motion and the motion of putting the.
Yeah, it's the hand to mouth thing.
Yeah.
And it's the waving it around thing. And it's the and it's the associative that I don't. This is just me, okay? I mean, anybody who smokes or has smoked probably can understand this. I don't know how people drink coffee and don't smoke. And I know a lot of non-smokers, because I've wound up giving them cigarettes over the years, who, you know, can't sit down and drink beers without going, "Hey man, can I have one of your cigarettes?" Because drinking and smoking, coffee and smoking, a cigarette after a meal.
I guess it's just pure habit.
It's associative. You associate the one with the other.
And they become very strong, those associations, over time. That's why it's so one of the reasons it's so hard to kick the habit, I bet, Bob, right?
Yeah, and particularly this three-hour block of time. You know, I light one up, it sits in the ashtray, but it makes me happy, and it's there. And if it's not there, and I can't, you know, I've had to broadcast in places where, you know, can't smoke. It's miserable.
Yeah. So it's better to have it and not need it than to not have it and need it. Is that the deal, Bob?
Kinda. I mean, I'm hoping the patch will, you know, that'll take care of the Jones. Now, Flavio says black licorice braids. I once quit smoking for a whole year using those black licorice twists. Apparently, the active ingredient in black licorice attaches to the nicotinic receptors, just like nicotine. Plus, you get the hand-to-mouth, waving it around thing, the oral fixation. Hell, but Jesus, licorice. I mean, okay, really good Switzer's licorice is good. Everything else sucks.
You don't like red licorice?
Well, that's not licorice.
How about Australian black licorice? That stuff's good.
Sucks.
How about Australian black, Bob?
I don't know about Australian black.
It's good. It's really good.
Way back in the day, like I've said before, the Switzer's licorice factory was in downtown St. Louis. And so when you walked around the historic district down there where the arch is and everything, the whole area smelled like licorice. Get a few blocks away and the whole area smells like hops and malt, because the Budweiser brewery was there. But I haven't seen Switzer's real, and it's probably made in China now.
Oh God!
Oh, and by the way, good news for pork fans. Pork coming from China has been tested with some sort of godforsaken pig virus.
Oh, no.
Oh, lovely.
Another reason to become a vegetarian, right?
No.
Just, that's what I'll do to lose my weight.
Never, there's never reason to become a vegetarian.
Oh, Tracy.
Rack of ribs for Christmas. Let's do it, man.
Standing rib roast for Christmas. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm done with my walk. So,
hi, Tracy.
Hi. Fuck you, Bob, and fuck you, Rick, for being still weighing less than I do.
Yeah, but you're going to get to 200 before I do. I guarantee it.
Yeah, you probably you'll beat me to 200. I bet, Tracy. The way
I'm at 230. Well, the last Friday when I weighed in, I was at 230. So who knows? Maybe I'll be at 220 something when I weigh in on Friday. But with my mom's birthday party and as Bob knows, I made a pound cake last night.
Oh, that was nice. That was pretty.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was. Wasn't that pretty?
Did you happen to soak it in the rum glaze?
No. I wasn't gonna go crazy. It was just a plate because my mom left today, and I was a hot mess. I've been crying off and on.
So I'm sorry.
My mom lives in North Carolina.
Well, of course, and you're out on the other side, you know.
Right. I realized it had been a year since I've seen her. So, you know, when she left, I was, okay, now I'm going to start. Damn.
Was it a fun time, the party, Tracy?
Oh, we had, you know, Rick, and we had karaoke, I thought of you. It was such an amazing party with all the drama and the fact that my fucking brother-in-law bringing their fucking dog to my house. That's a whole other conversation.
They're sick dog. They're sick. They're hurt dog.
They're hurt dog. And it was like, motherfuckers, it's just good. And my sister becoming more, I don't think she'll ever become a Republican, but the girl hunts now. She shoots defenseless animals. At first, I thought she was going with her husband. No. He does bow and arrow. My sister has a rifle. And so his hunting season is like September or October. This is her hunting season now in November.
Yeah,
That girl took down a buck.
What are they shooting, deer?
Deer and moose or whatever the fuck is up in Oregon. I don't know.
Huh. Deer, moose, dinosaurs, elephants. Yeah. Dinosaurs, it's Oregon.
I don't know.
It all tastes like chicken.
Don't forget the mountain lions.
No, it doesn't, syllable. It does not all taste
like chicken. You can't shoot mountain lions.
It's elk and deer season. There's no moose in Oregon.
Okay.
Moose is further north, up in Canada.
Don't care. It's a four-legged creature with antlers. I don't give a fuck. Look, they all look alike to me. I don't know. Yeah. I just know the girl has a gun.
Yeah, I don't shoot them. They're too pretty. But I could sit on my back porch, and there's eight pointers that come by.
It's like how white people all morning like black long. People. We all look alike.
What?
To me, I said all those antler people things look alike to me. I said, much like white people look at black people.
Ungulates is ungulates.
I've got a case where the agent couldn't distinguish between Thailand, where my client had some business activity, and Taiwan. So he went to the Taiwanese government to see if it had any records of him entering the country. And of course they didn't. You know, it's like Taiwan, Thailand. They all look the same.
Yeah, they all start with P.
Yeah, they're only 1,000 miles apart from me.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, 220, 225, whatever it takes.
Yeah, this is definitely not the swiftest investigator on the planet here, you know.
Hey, Tracy, were you referencing the party that you and Jan did recently?
There was two parties within 2 weeks.
Oh.
It was the first party was a Halloween party that Rick stood us up on. Fuck you, Rick.
Oh, I was wondering. That's what
sorry,
I
was Tracy.
He showed up.
That's fine.
Oh.
And Joe showed up. And he's, you know, a deer. And I thought Jan scared him away, scared them terribly, because my wife is not the most social person ever. She has, you know, I'm a white woman, so I can say whatever the fuck I feel at any given time and there will be no consequences attitude. But Joe, he's like, no, everything was good. But the party that we just had this past Saturday,
was for my mom's 70th birthday. Oh, her birthday is her birthday is actually tomorrow, but she did. She came out last week. She was in Atlanta with my brother, and then this week, the week before last, she was in Atlanta, and then this past week she was with me. But the best part was, she left Atlanta last Wednesday. My brother drove her to the airport, and so then Thursday he flew out here for the party, and so I went and picked her up from getting her nails done, and you know she walks in. We planned it perfectly. She had a nail appointment before my brother's flight got in at like 9 o'clock last Thursday morning. Went and picked her up from the nail appointment, and my brother is just sitting in my living room, and she just looked at like, oh my God. So I mean, there were over 50 people at my house for her party. We had tables and chairs in the backyard. We had a shit ton of food, music, everything. She cried, you know, because all these people, and most of the people who said they were coming didn't show, like Rick. No, Rick wasn't invited.
You won't quit, will you?
I'm the case for that one, Tracy. I didn't have an invite to that one.
Well, I was wondering if Rick had made it to the Halloween party. So I'm sitting here. He did. Did your mom get her wish, Tracy, and that all her kids were there? I hope.
My middle brother. He declined not to come. Bastard. But her four kids, who really love her. Yeah, I said that. It there because, I mean, three of us are on the West Coast. My baby brother, he's here in L.A. with me. My sister's in Portland. And my brother Solomon is in Atlanta. But, you know, and the thing is about my middle brother, you know, he had no reason not to come because my sister's a flight attendant and she was going to get him buddy passes to get out here. So, and once he got out here, it wasn't like he was going to pay for anything. Now, he couldn't stay here because Jan hates him with a purple passport.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Two major parties in a short amount of time. So,
but he could have stayed with your sister and brother-in-law and stayed with the dog. I mean, you know.
With the fucking dog, exactly. Huh? You know.
So the people who wanted to be there were there at least, right, Tracy?
Yes.
Good. That's
it. Well, I'm just dying. I'm just dying to know how was the macaroni salad received?
The macaroni salad was received with applause and all, there was a perfect ratio. There was the perfect egg, pickle, and yes, mayonnaise ratio. Ooh. It wasn't too dry. It wasn't mushy. It was just tart. It was just sweet enough without being. What's that word? Cloying? Cloying?
Yeah, cloying. That's perfect.
Cloying. And the eggs. And oh, by the way, because you know, I think I've talked about my ninja foodie. You've never had a perfect hard-boiled egg until you put your eggs in the air fryer.
Wait, what? Sort of,
yeah, air fryer.
Now, yeah. How do you do that? Now, I've done bacon in the air fryer, but I ain't done no eggs.
Baby, it's depending on how you want, you know, there's three levels of eggs, of the hardness. If you want it kind of, you know, kind of gooey, it's, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. If you want it, you know, firm, but still soft, you know, there's like 12 minutes or whatever. But if you wanted that perfect, you know, the perfect hard-boiled egg, perfectly yellow with, that's hard for, you know, salads and stuff like that. It's 15 minutes in the air fryer. Depending on your brand, it's like it heat for at 275. And it's the most perfect hard-boiled egg you have ever had. Okay,
I've got to try that now.
But I'm not clear on something.
We have an air fryer.
I'm not clear on something because I ain't got one. I want one, but I ain't got one. Do you just stick the eggs in there? I mean, is there water involved? I mean,
no.
You just there's a wired mesh. At least the one we got. There's wired mesh.
And you put it on. You put the eggs. Just Google hard boiled egg in the air fryer.
Son of a gun! Are they any easier to peel?
Yes, they are.
They are.
This is what you do after you fry them in the air fryer. Then you immediately take them out and put them in an ice water bath, and then you peel them in the ice water bath.
Oh, so you don't let them sit in the ice water like I do.
No. I mean, you let it sit for a couple minutes, you know, because you got to keep them from cooking, you know.
But I mean, I have to boil them in the boiling water for 20 minutes and let it sit in the cold water for 20 minutes for it to harden. But no, that's the old school method.
No, you don't have to do that. That's the beautiful thing. Oh. You do them in the air fryer and you put them in the cold water. It's maybe 2-3 minutes in the ice bath.
Rinse them.
That is awesome. So you don't have to put anything on the bottom to absorb anything when you cook them. You just stick it in the water mesh. Wow.
Tracy, sounds like you're coming around on the mayonnaise. I'm so proud.
Oh, hush, motherfucker.
Well, no, the next step, Steve,
I knew
is
she would.
I gotta send Tracy because she's been so sweet about sending that wonderful apricot pineapple jam along. And she sent some lemon, some whipped lemon honey.
Ooh, that's a wonderful combination.
Oh, it is.
Talk about
with the wrong tea, but it still worked.
Yeah, it still worked. Yeah. So here's the thing though. I gotta send Tracy and I don't know if you're on the team or not, Steve. I mean, you're far enough south. I told Tracy, but I gotta send Tracy a jar of Duke's mayonnaise.
Oh, that's the only way to make potato salad, Bob.
See?
Ooh.
Oh, that's the good stuff, man.
So there is a codicil to my mayonnaise hatred.
Well, Bob and I are fixing to end it here in a few.
Is that like Facebook group or something, Tracy?
Mayonnaise haters?
You don't have Dukes out there. No, of course not, do you, Rick? No way.
No.
Dukes, not heard of
it. That's Southeast.
I want to hear about this codicil.
Codicil.
Oh, my God, that's a fancy term, Bob.
There's a codicil to the mayonnaise hatred, and I always forget because I don't make potato salad or macaroni salad often. Yes, you have to have mayonnaise in said salads and in tuna salad. It's a binding agent, okay, and
right.
Keep the shit from drying out. However, it's not like I put enough in it to, you know, turn the shit white. It's just enough.
What's the deep dive into Tracy's pure hatred of mayonnaise, Tracy? Is it like?
Yeah, I feel like there's a story behind that.
Is it the taste? Is it the preservative?
It sounds like a love-hate relationship, actually, because she does use mayonnaise for quite a number of dishes. I'm not mistaken.
I'm surrounded by white all everywhere I go. I don't really particularly want it in my food if I can help it. No, I'm just kidding, y'all.
Tracy was talking about boiled eggs. I'm a deviled egg fanatic. So,
Bob, and that's my next thing with the air fryer, because those sharp yolks. The yolks turn out perfectly yellow, and there's not a hint of green in them. So,
oh my God, are you serious?
Not a hint of green.
Wow, I'm gonna have to try that.
So, my next thing is to make deviled eggs.
So everybody knows that I'm on a ramen binge, and I'm on a ramen mission. I don't know if it may be too cold event. Because you know you got to let that ramen broth. It's got to go for like 36 hours. But anyway, anybody who sits down to a bowl of really high quality ramen at a good ramen shop, LA is probably crawling with them. It's the egg. And it's soft boiled. But the thing is, it's also marinated.
It's not about the cats, Bob?
No, it's not about the cats. It's about the egg. So you soft boil.
Wrong pussy, Rick.
Yeah. Exactly. So I've been watching all these little YouTube lessons and stuff on how to make the marinated egg. It's a soft boiled egg, and you know you boil them, you peel them, and then you put them in the marinade in the fridge for like 2 days. Well, I got to thinking, they're delicious. They're just delicious. The marinade and but what if you? Here's the thinking. What if you made them hard-boiled eggs and then marinated them for 2 days? And then you made deviled eggs with the egg yolks, and you mash up the egg yolks. You use a little dab of Japanese mayo, which is different. A little dab of Japanese mayo just to bind it all together. Wasabi powder. And, like, the Japanese pickled ginger. Mm. And did deviled eggs with that. That might be fan-freaking-tastic.
We might have to do something about that, Bob. I might have to work on that because I'm a ramen. I'm a ramen ho. I admit it.
Ramen ho.
Oh, wow.
A ramen ho. I will go on the stroll for ramen. Just kidding. But
see,
on that 10 cents
a pack.
We all got that one food, Tracy. Don't feel bad. I'm a spaghetti freak, so you know.
Noodles. But on that note, yeah. I'm going to go because I have to make myself some dinner because my wife and I are going to go see the Donna Summer musical.
Wonderful. Oh, that's going to be so cool.
My God, have fun.
Yes, so you guys have a wonderful evening. Fuck Trump.
Fuck Trump.
Fuck Trump. Yeah, fuck him.
So, and by the way, I'm going to throw out just because, you know, in honor of my mom leaving and me trying not to be all stupid and crying like the sentimental slob that I can be. Just for shits and giggles, let's throw out a $25 challenge to help you knock some of this bullshit down and all that good shit.
Oh, so, thank you. Thank you, Tracy. That's awesome. So Tracy's going to
consider my mother's 70th birthday tomorrow. So, yeah.
And fuck Trump, too.
Be here tomorrow.
And fuck Trump, too.
Fuck Trump.
Yeah.
Fuck Trump.
And if somebody matches that, Tracy, that'll take us down below $500. That'll take us down to $475 to go. Which beats the living bejesus out of 1,000.
Right, Trace.
Thank you, Tracy. Right. And hey, just because, you know, I'm a radio guy and I hear it, you hit the tea in the honey, too, because it sounds like you're trying to come down with something.
Yep.
Yes. Best I've heard. I lost my voice. I had no voice by Saturday night because between yelling at Jan and keeping her from yelling at people and... It got to the point because I had all these people, you know, setting up for the party. I had like five people helping me and people constantly calling my name. And I yelled, I just need you motherfuckers to stop calling me for 30 seconds. Just don't say my name. Don't gesture to me. Just leave me alone. Do whatever you have to do for 30 seconds. Just don't fucking say my name for 30 seconds.
The door opening and closing is probably drafty. There's probably a lot going on.
You know, there's a whole, it was mostly me yelling. Seriously. It was mostly me yelling.
Well, Tracy, before you go, I'm going to tell you, I just got a note from Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, Duke's Mayo. I'll send you the recipe for the Duke's Mayo chocolate cake. It's to die for.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Did I say 25? Let's make it 35 because in honor of my mom's 70th birthday. So if somebody
wants 35
to sit down,
and 35
make it
is 70.
Even.
Yeah.
Yes. See how quickly I do that math. Anyway, love you all. I'm going to try to
enjoy the show, Tracy.
Love you back, sweetheart.
Have a blast, Tracy.
We love you, dear.
You guys be good, and I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. And good luck and be safe on your travels, Bob. We'll see you. See you on Monday. Hear you on Monday, rather. Let's see you.
Yep. Be back Monday.
On Monday. All right, baby. I'll talk at y'all later.
All right, later.
Keep on walking.
All right.
Yeah, I think she does need to hit the T though because with the explanation we got, yeah, takes a little while to get your voice back.
I just saw a headline, Bob, that apparently from Raw Story, Southern District prosecutors watched impeachment hearing today to decide whether to charge Rudy Giuliani.
Oh,
uh oh.
Because he figured pretty damn prominently.
Oh, yes, he did.
And he should be fucking charged. And then it looks like MSNBC got kind of a coup for a legal analyst. Andrew Weissman apparently now is a legal analyst for MSNBC from the Mueller investigative team.
Oh, that'll be some interesting insight.
Yeah, and I saw the headline and it disappeared on me, so I'm going to try to find it.
Oh, and I did get some further details on him losing again today. This was the D.C. circuit, Rick. So he's lost in the D.C. Circuit and the Second Circuit. And since they are very nearly identical, it could very well be that they do both get consolidated because they both have to do with Mazars and his financial records.
That's good.
And the D.C. Circuit imposed a 7-day stay to allow his pettifoggers to ask the Supreme Court to come in and bring the fix.
You know, Bob, for some reason, this is one of those cases where I don't see the Supreme Court as, like, hurrying to resolve the cases, you know, like putting them on a fast track as far as briefing and hearing and opinion. Why would that be?
Yeah, you got to wonder, don't you?
Well, they're kind of going to let the GOP run off the clock. That's the whole game here by Trump, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, if he doesn't win in 2020, there's no such thing as running out the clock.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm a little worried that if he manages to make it through the election and he doesn't win, is he just going to send out a tweet and saying, I'm not leaving the White House because the whole thing was rigged and fixed and I was supposed to win?
You know, I think we've all wondered about that.
Oh, yeah.
But the Constitution tells us what happens. And so somebody's going to get, if he loses, the winner will be sworn in on January the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And the loyalties of, for instance, the Secret Service will shift to the new person. And it's not like, you know, it's not like 14th century Europe when we're going to have an Avignon papacy and a Rome papacy.
Well, what I could foresee, Bob, is that is that we just let Trump stay at the White House with his maggots surrounding the building so that to protect him, and then the new president would be sworn in and then sit at Trump Tower as president. Wouldn't that be ironic?
Oh, who wants the bed bugs?
I'm joking.
Oh, jeez, who would want to? Oh my God, you'd have to inspect the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he might decamp to Mar-a-Lago and declare himself the president of the maggots. And the bed bugs.
All kidding aside, but I can see him after pulling something like that because he thinks that the rule of law don't apply to him. So,
oh yeah, no,
yeah, I could see the minute he's like not winning the 2020 election that he's going to be like, you know, well, George Soros like alien shipped, you know, a million illegal alien immigrants to vote again for my opponent or some crap, and he's like, oh, you know, true Americans voted for me and I'm staying in the White House. It's like,
I totally agree with you, Megan. I totally see that happening.
Well, I said this back in 2016 and people called me paranoid and hysterical and, you know, I have an active imagination, and I'm like, well, here we are, folks.
Well, Megan, that's because you're a woman. Okay, I mean, obviously, I'm being.
I'm glad you said that, Darlene, not me.
Yeah, I ain't touching that.
It's a tongue-in-cheek woman-to-woman joke. Oh shit! Guess who has memory problems all of a sudden? Did you see this?
No, what?
What
has memory? Washington Post, Bullfrog Barr. I quote: I don't remember Trump asking for a news conference, clearing him of wrongdoing in the Ukraine call.
Oh.
Barr says he doesn't remember. Wow. Wow.
I think it's time for a mental status examiner to go to the AG's office and examine him, you know?
Oh, man, this whole administration.
Maybe he's forgotten who the president is. No, he hasn't.
Did they all suddenly get early onset dementia? I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, yeah.
I think it's selective for some reason.
Selective.
Yeah.
Donald, I don't recall Trump, you know, I don't recall all the responses that the written response to Robert Mueller's interview questions there. So it sounds like Barr is kind of talking the same language here. He did not remember Trump ever asking him to hold a news conference. I mean, that is really,
such a freaking tool. I mean. Oh, I mean, Trump couldn't have a better attorney general from that standpoint. That guy will do whatever Trump tells him to do.
Well, I think it may be dawning on some of these freaks that they're not going to be in power forever.
The evil Tom Bosley, anyone? That one.
I want to see that motherfucker lose his law license, and I think there's somebody in the Senate.
Giuliani or Mick?
Both. Barr.
All of them. All of them.
I want to see Barr lose it. And there is a congressman that has put forth a request that he, I don't know if it's to the grievance committee or the bar, whatever that bar is part of, requesting that be investigated, he loses law license. I remember seeing a headline on that, Bob. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I just can't remember where.
I can't remember. It was a blurb, and it kind of went down the memory hole. But I do remember that. Let me see if I can find it, because I'm on my computer. Oh, yeah.
The evil Tom Bosley with Giuliani, they need to be frog marched. Right along with Trump, the three of them. You know?
Marion! You say Tom Bosley, somebody has to say, Marion!
The evil one. Don't they kind of favor, though? I mean, one's like the evil one.
Yeah. Oh, and hey, fuck Trump, and fuck Trump. Because Tracy put out the challenge, and it was met by both Brian and Will in Chicago. And we are now only $435 away from done. What that boils down to is 35 more bucks, and we're only missing out on Thursday and Friday. So there we go.
Can anyone make it 420 by chance? That would be a perfect number, actually.
Well, it wouldn't be as perfect as 400 in this case, Rick.
Well, that's true. We'll take 400 or less.
Okay, I found it.
Oh, I good. Found it.
Bill Pascrell, lawmaker out of New Jersey, has just filed official papers, and this was on October 6th, so this sounds about around that time that I remember reading it, requesting that William Barr's law license be removed. Removed, I don't know if it should be revoked. And this is actually, this looks like a conservative rag. And it's starting off. Have you ever seen a group of more desperate and deranged people than the Democrats?
Yeah, okay, sure.
Bill Pascrell, the lawmaker, has just filed official papers requesting his law license be removed. So I got to find a better
source.
Yeah, but that's the first thing that popped up when I did a search.
Did it seem to anybody that Adam Schiff today looked like he was about to piss himself laughing at some of the stunts that were being carried out?
Yeah, I didn't want to comment on it, but I thought he got perilously close to a smirk a couple of times.
Oh, he was downright smiling. Like, I was expecting him to guffaw at some of this, like, and look at him go, are you freaking serious? That whole Ratcliffe whining about how Adam was just being such a meanie because he wasn't allowing Ratcliffe to object to everything in the hearing. And I was like, dude, are you serious? Like, that was a part where Adam was just, yeah.
No, when Jim Shorts Jordan was running off at the mouth.
Which time? Because he did a lot of
today. The camera, and apparently the people running the cameras know what the score is. Because every time, the two times that I saw where Jim Shorts was, there's only one person who knows who the whistleblower is. One person got to talk to staff, but they don't let the rest of the Congress know with the pudding pops. And the camera would camera would cut over to Schiff, and he'd be sitting there going.
Well, I mean, Schiff pretty much laid down the law, quote unquote law, on that by saying, "Look, you try to out the whistleblower, we're going to bring up ethics, House charges against you." So he really laid it out, and I think that was a brilliant move on his part, and you know. They've already outed, like, what is that? The Examiner, which I think is a conservative rag, already named somebody. I'm sure you saw that article, Bob, where they named he's been a CIA analyst. I won't say his name, out of respect. But I'm hoping they're wrong and that this CIA analyst fucking sues the shit out of the Examiner and anyone else.
Well, yeah, and see, the thing is, it started out it started out with that website that rhymes with light and fart, and they were quoting, we've all heard of Real Clear Politics. Well, this cited a Real Clear something else. And I don't know if it's an arm of Real Clear Politics or if it's a totally different thing, but they the way the article was written was this tortuous. We sorted this out by process of elimination because only one person spoke to somebody who once had ice cream with Marie Yovanovitch or something like that. I mean, it was completely nuts.
What the hell? I mean, the only problem
during a snowstorm on the 4th of July and received a black eye because of a stampede of elephants.
Oh my God. This is why the Indians are going out of business.
Yeah. meanwhile, because tomorrow's thorn in the side and we won't be here for Friday, I just got turned on to perhaps one of the most epic pieces of stupid that's come along in a while. And of course
that's
it has
kind of hard to do.
I know
these days,
but when you realize that it's coming from Paul Gosar, dentist, Dr. Paul Gosar, Republican maggot of Arizona, whose own family campaigned against him. Jesus.
Ooh, ouch.
He sent out a series of tweets today. I kid you not. I wish this was it. This could be The Onion, but it isn't.
I'm afraid to ask.
It comes from KRDO.com. And the headline reads, Arizona rep hides Epstein message in impeachment hearing tweets. Arizona Congressman Paul Gosar appears to be signaling support for a conspiracy theory that Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself while awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges. The Republican congressman sent 23 tweets Wednesday about the first public impeachment hearing examining President Donald Trump's dealing with yada, yada, yada. The first letter of each tweet spells out, Epstein didn't kill himself. And the Associated Press asked Gosar spokesman Ben Goldie whether the congressman sent the tweets himself. Goldie's emailed response used the first letter of each sentence to spell Area 51. He did not answer the question, but said the tweets were substantive.
Oh, jeez.
Maggots.
You always have with
all
you.
Donald Trump could do today was retweeted.
This sounds like straight QAnon stuff.
From the House.
Oh yeah, he was a retweeting fool today. Or
he was.
Nitwit Nero, or else, you know, Dan Scavino, who does a lot of his tweeting for him. The funniest thing I have seen, though, in recent memory that was real comedy, our buddy Joy up in Ann Arbor sent this along. And I about hurt myself the other night when I first saw it. Good God, this is just simply brilliant. From The Onion, it's just one of those headlines. There's no text to go with it. It's just a picture of Stephen Miller, you know, Pee Wee Herman Goering.
Ugh, God.
Stephen Miller enraged after discovering cantaloupe he's fucking is from Mexico.
Oh my God.
I mean, because he's such a neo maxi zoom dweeby, you can almost see him there just rutting away on a melon.
Oh God, no. Bob, no, he's that picture. No.
Did he forget to microwave it first or? Stage two.
Oh. Hey, thank you to Kyle down in Kentucky, Stan. We've got it down to 4:30. 4:30, so that's awesome. $30 to go, and we've taken care of everything but tomorrow and Friday. So that's pretty amazing, really.
Bob, are quick you gonna question before you get out of here.
Oh, wait. I owe Kyle a fuck Trump. There, all better.
Okay.
There we go.
Quick question before you get out of here. So only take a second. Put on your pointy hat with the stars and the moons. What are your chances are, in your opinion, of removal?
Look, I'm a guy who's dumb enough. I'm a guy who's dumb enough to buy a Powerball ticket. Okay.
Me too. All right, that's what I thought. And the rest of the Horner family's welcome.
I actually own a hat like that, Steve.
I'd say one in a thousand. You know?
Are you kidding? No, it's actually the odds are 67 out of 100. That's what the odds are. 67 of 100. What was that earlier?
The odds are higher that he's going to get pissy and run out before he has to be removed.
You never know. Apologies. You always say dare to dream, Bob.
Yep.
Dare to dream.
I got something for what was George Conway doing on MSNBC today?
Is that George Conway?
Oh, he was sitting there.
George Conway.
Yeah, he was sitting there.
Kellyanne's husband.
Yeah, he was sitting there. He was sitting there yucking it up with Nicole Wallace. You know, they're both loyal Bushies.
Yeah, useless.
But he was he's always good for a laugh because he'll and I don't think it was really so much of a joke when he said to her that Donald Trump is too stupid to be president.
No, that's a statement of fact.
Yeah, I think it's easy for him to focus on that and the psychological end of things.
We would have been better off with Henry Hill. Seriously.
Would have been better off with a pot plant as president.
Yeah.
Well, and here's another piece of news from outside the hearing process. Hey, look, everybody. I'm so excited. We're going to have another presidential candidate.
Oh, yeah. It's, from...
Who's that, Deval Patrick?
Deval Patrick says he's going to enter the race.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just jumping up and down.
What, Patrick who?
Like, what, you know, what leadership?
I heard Bill de Blasio, but
former governor
Bloomberg.
It's never ending. It's like... I look at this and I'm like, I think they're just looking for easy publicity.
I'm with Darlene on that one.
Does he have a book to hustle is what I want to know.
Yep, that could be
too. And by the way, I was just reminded by Steve in New York that I've screwed up the Stephen Miller thing, kind of screwed up dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. because Steve said, I'm having a late dinner here.
Well, he should have eaten earlier. That's his own damn fault.
And if anybody wants to take it, Steve's offering 50-50, even odds that Trump gets removed.
Ooh, well, I like to hear that. That's better than what I thought. But I think that it's safe to say, you know, seeing that Adam Schiff is at the helm of this, that this is building. Like, this is, you know, and Taylor said it, I'm not the star witness. And I think that, you know, next is Jovanovic. I think tomorrow is a break. Next is Jovanovic. And I think next week is going, it's going to build to that.
Yeah, today was just an interjection prologue. We still got the rest of the script to, you know.
And there's so much crap to sort out. This story was out of the Washington Post, but it has to do with the 2018 dinner in April, and it was one of those cozy little affairs where the folks with the Jed Clampett walking around money show up, and they were supposed to bundle up and give money to a super PAC, for Nitwit Nero's reelection. And in exchange for the money, they were going to get to hobnob and swan around and talk with Nitwit Nero and Dim Sun.
Dim Sun, the one that wrote the Triggered book?
Yeah. So got triggered at UCLA, yeah.
Where he couldn't attend unless his girlfriend was there holding his hand.
Right, and they wouldn't take questions, and they got run off the stage. So it was held. It was held at the at that seedy dive in Washington, at something called the Trump Townhouse.
Oh God!
And Jack Nicklaus III was there, and a bunch of other swells. And guess who else was there?
Who?
Lev and Igor.
What?
No surprise.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sprung fresh from the pokey.
But what's even this is 2018, Rick.
Oh.
And it was for the America First Super PAC. Here's the fun part. Lev told his buddies how he and Igor went up to Trump at the dinner and talked trash on Marie Yovanovitch.
Oh. No, they're just getting brazen now.
Well, George testified
from Russia, like the equivalent of like the Billy Bobs from Alabama.
Yeah, just remember, when it comes to Lev and Igor, Nitwit Nero said, "Never heard of him. I mean, I probably had a picture taken with him, because I've had pictures taken with everybody, but I don't know who they are."
Well, I mean, George Kent testified today with respect to Masha. You know, when you're going after corrupt individuals, you're going to piss them off. And you know, Trump was one of the pissed off individuals against Masha, which means he's corrupt. You know, it's like that logic model.
Yeah, that said so much without saying anything specific, didn't it?
It was a beautiful statement, you know, and his whole demeanor changed. When it came to Yovanovitch, it was very subtle. George Kent is pissed off at what they did to Marie Yovanovitch. You could see it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear.
They weren't happy.
He was not pleased. So, you know, she clearly was a very good ambassador. You know, from their perspective as bureaucrats or government men.
It's only going to get more interesting.
Oh yeah, it's going to be very interesting to hear her on Friday. I'm looking forward to that. And you know, as a woman, you know, Megan can relate to this. You know, the women don't get enough credit. I mean, you know, we don't. I mean, you look at Sally Yates.
About to mention her.
Thank you, Megan. You know, and it's like, and you know, I don't know if anyone notices this, but James Comey, that motherfucker. Okay, he's a sexist son of a bitch. He has 5 kids. 4 of them are girls. 4 of them are daughters, and his wife. And who did he do an end run around when he was FBI director, vis-a-vis the Justice Department and the whole morass with Hillary Clinton?
Would that be Sally Yates?
Sally Yates. And Loretta Lynch, who was the attorney general. Mm-hmm. And we know how he excoriated Hillary Clinton when he got up there and did his little presser. I have to question that and sit there. Would he have done that? Would he have done that if there was a male attorney general or a male?
I don't think you have to ask that question, Darlene. I don't think you have to ask that question at all.
Yeah, that's a rhetorical question.
Look at the degree of deference that he showed the Frogman Barr.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and don't forget when he was at William & Mary, Bob, I brought that up. He wrote that nasty article about women attending, Harvard, I guess? You know, very, very sexist. Oh, article about women that they weren't that good looking or something like that. And, you know, so you see people like, you know, you see women like Sally Yates and Marie Yovanovitch, and they don't get the credit where credit is due because they're standing up to him. They're standing up to Trump. They're standing up to, you know, Sally Yates.
I kind of feel like that's almost working in their favor in the sense that, because of the fact they don't get credit, well, fuckers, they don't have much to lose now. So all your threats and all your insults are just going to be like, eh.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier about Andrea Chalupa. She's on the Republican witness list. Oh, we want to talk to that Andrea Chalupa. Well, she spoke up and said, subpoena me. Do it. I'm eager. I can't wait to answer your questions in the impeachment hearing. Do please. I'm eager. I'm your worst fucking nightmare.
She's basically daring them to.
Yeah.
And don't forget, when did the Republicans, quote unquote, storm the Bastille, the skiff?
Yeah, when Laura Cooper. Yeah, they just walked. Yeah, exactly.
Capitol Police. Yep.
Oh, by the way, I have. Yeah, her
she's
too.
She's like,
God forbid if the whistleblower's a woman. And I'm wondering if that's along the same exactly lines, and that's why they keep going after.
I think it's a woman.
I've thought it all along.
I'm glad you said that, Bob. I'm thinking it's a woman.
Because all of us, you know, for a while they were, and I know we've got the pronoun thing out there in the universe, but for a while, a couple of people would say he, and then they started piping up and saying they.
Yep, because it's easier than saying he or she.
Yeah.
Then they correct themselves. Oh, yeah.
And just with a couple of minutes left, I had a question coming in from Mike in Cascadia. Subject line, Schiff. Do you have any insights into the intellect of Adam Schiff? Is he the smartest guy in the room? Cheers, Mike. Yeah, I think he probably is. He's nobody's dummy. And
he worked at the U.S. Attorney's Office before I joined. Actually, I was there, but before I began prosecuting cases. And he's very sharp. He left to run for Congress and beat a Republican. So,
and he's so measured.
Oh yeah.
And controlled, Rick, mm-hmm. You know, but he's like, when he gets emotional, he's like measured in that. Like when he did that, that great speech that he did where he did that. There's
you
a
may think it's okay speech.
Right. You may think it's okay, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was great.
He did a beautiful job with that billable. And did you meet him, or did you actually, were you in the office?
I've never met him. He lives in Burbank, which is just like probably within 10 miles of where I live. And he's my congressman.
Good for you.
You know, I know he's had like fundraisers at his house and so forth. He's supposedly a very, you know, approachable guy, very nice guy.
Well, he will, among entirely separate reasons, he will always be a hero to me. Because this year, on the very day, as much as he's got on his plate, on the very day that we introduced the AIC Act,
mm-hmm.
he was among mm-hmm. the first people to sign on to co-sponsor it.
Good man!
Wow!
Yeah,
you know, and I consider Connecticut and California sister states. You know, we're tiny. California's big. We both begin with C. We both. Our state names. We have these long, ugly state names.
Hard consonants as well. Hard C's as well.
We're on opposite ends of the country, and it's not been unusual for me to support, a California senator or House or representative. And I've looked at him, and I'm like, I would definitely donate to his campaign to keep him in Congress. He's a good guy, I think.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
And that's why they're so threatened. The GOP is so threatened by him, and they target him and are shifty shift trying
You're effective. You basically know you're effective if you draw their ire and their hate. You know, I welcome your
hate. And the janky little pranks that they keep pulling at these hearings that don't really amount to much. You're like, what the hell are y'all doing? Seriously?
Yeah, this alleged false transcript that Schiff made up. It's parody, you assholes. Haven't you heard of that before?
Exactly. Yeah. But he handled today really well, Megan and Rick. I think he handled it like he gave them their, you know, but he didn't let it go too far. Like he had the boundaries, but he would say, you know, if somebody brought up a point of order or whatever, he let them be heard on the GOP side, but he kept it in check, too. Uh-huh. I think he did a beautiful job emceeing this today.
Oh, and by the way, asking it shall be given unto you, Rick. Our buddy Texas T heard what you said. So now, with a hearty fuck Trump, the fundraising goal is down to 420.
Drum roll.
420.
All right. Woohoo!
So you got your 420, Rick.
Hey.
Wow. Awesome.
And thank you to Texas Tea. That's just awesome.
That's awesome.
So
Bob, you're not coming in tomorrow? You're not going to be in tomorrow, right?
No, I'll be gone Friday. tomorrow and Friday and back on Monday.
All right. Be safe, Bob.
Gonna try real hard. And y'all have a wonderful, I mean, it's Wednesday, but still have a wonderful weekend. And, you know, since I'm not going to be here, then God only knows what's going to bust loose.
That's when all the shit hits the fans when you're away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bob goes off there and like the whole world falls apart. It's amazing. You know, it never fails. Huh?
Oh, man. Get your popcorn, y'all.
Yeah. Sometimes I just feel like, you know, sort of a hillbilly Atlas walking around with that fucking big old globe on my shoulders going, my fucking neck hurts.
Jeez.
So thanks, everybody. Thanks for seeing the bat signal, Sparky, and getting everything in order to do a prayer meeting Wednesday on the front porch. We didn't do any prayer meeting stuff. I did that out of deference for Sparky because he came in on Wednesday. So thank you, Sparky. Thanks to everybody who jumped in on the conversation this evening. Thanks to all of you who jumped in to take us from 800, nearly $900 down to only $420 to go. That's tremendous. That's just tomorrow and Friday and $20 worth of tonight. Thank you so very much. Fuck Trump. Thanks to all of you who participate in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you for sharing your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks again to Sparky and the old holler tree around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. And thanks for all the fuck Trumps along the way. That was cute. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great next couple of days and weekend, everybody. Be back Monday. Later.